Chair, I've only got three apologies. Is from Umama Grace, is not feeling well, and Minister and DM Kappa, they are attending Kapizet, the Hotra. Thank you.
DM Squatcha is in attendance?
I'm not sure, Chair, but I didn't receive any apologies, Chair.
No apology from DM Squatcha?
No, not from my side, Chair.
Honorable members, any other apologies?
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Masipa.
Honorable Mbabama is not well. She's not able to attend.
All right, thank you.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes.
And Umenhlaphe, naye, Chair, is an appointment at 9:30, but is going to join later.
Gonna join later?
Yes.
All right. We have a quorum then in terms of numbers.
I'm checking on that, Chair, because I only see Uche, Tatu Kebekulu, no, Tatu Masipa. And we're supposed to start when we are four. I just see three now on the platform.
Okay. We've got from 17 to 22, KK Azgange. Mkakaza.
I'm going to go to the house.
Thank you, Mkhalazi. Thank you.
Okay. Baza ifumane ihamba lenqwa.
Chair, but it's a challenge and a chair as well as when the Quran is host up for room to present.
Leadership, I'm keeping on refreshing my inbox.
My stomach cool, can mute that microphone. Mute that microphone, please. Assist your leadership elsewhere. We cannot have such disturbances. Mute your microphones. Mama Kwabe, mute your microphone. Mama Lady, mute your microphone. Thank you, honorable members. I guess we can begin this session of our portfolio committee meeting. Greetings from Karbala in Iraq. And please forgive me for the disturbances. I'm at a conference of international solidarity movement for the return of Palestinians in diaspora. Let me therefore take this opportunity to greet you all, the ministry in absentia, minister and the honorable deputy ministers, DG Ntate Ramasodi and the officials of the department, honorable members, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, comrades and friends. Molweni, good morning. Goeiemôre. I bring greetings of praise all the way from Karbala in Iraq. I trust that you are all well and in good health and high spirits. Our work as members of Parliament and the Portfolio Committee on Agricultural and Reform and Rural Development is in a predicated upon formulating legislation and exercising legislative oversight. This element of providing oversight and accountability is intrinsic to the proper functioning of our democracy. In holding the administration accountable, we fulfill an important duty towards the nation and those who elected us, honorable members. Oversight is not intended to be the punitive, but rather to ensure that government, through its departments and ministries, delivers on its mandate, and that the departments deliver on the APPs that they will be presenting to Parliament today. It is therefore, honorable members, in this regard, that this spirit that we make the following observation. In November 2021, during the engagements with the Department on Agricultural Land Reform and Rural Development on their annual reports, the committee recommended that the department and its entities, with the exception of PPECB and SEVEC, should provide progress reports to the committee on the implementation of their audits improvement action plans on a quarterly basis. While some of the entities include such progress on the implementation of their audits improvement plans during the first to third quarterly report briefings, in February this year, the department neither presented nor sent the audit improvement plan to the committee as it had previously requested. Recording in progress. This issue was raised in the last quarterly briefings, and I am, honorable members, raising it again because the Audit Improvement Action Plan has not been included in the presentation that we have received. I do hope that the DG and official can explain this to us. Honorable members, the committee has further specifically recommended that the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development engages with the internal audit unit and the chairperson of the audit committee in reviewing the department's audit improvement action plan. And it should report to Parliament on a quarterly basis on the implementation of the actions to address specific audits, finding, including but not limited to the investigations and actions taken on the reported and other identified irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Honorable members, during the presentation, we will appreciate an update on such engagements and actions taken on previously reported matters. As an example, honorable members, in 2020-2021 financial year, the department's irregular expenditure amounted to 203,800,000 rands, and fruitful and wasteful expenditure amounted to 44.5 million rands. In both cases, the AG, Auditor General of South Africa, reported that appropriate steps were not taken to prevent such expenditure and disciplinary steps were not taken against officials, i.e. there were no consequence management who had incurred and or permitted irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure as required by Section 38, subsection 1H of the PFMA. Therefore, honorable members, it is our recommendation that the committee expected and still expects quarterly progress on how the department has addressed some of these findings through its audit improvement plan to prevent repeat findings in the current financial year and in future cases. The department alone, honorable members, has three presentations which, when combined, constitute 150 slides. We therefore, in the interest of time, as the committee also needs to get a briefing from the commission, the presenter should skip the vision and mission, program purpose, structures, etc. Members know those by now and can read those by themselves. Please, and I repeat, DG, please focus on actual performance and expenditure with explanations on reasons for underachievement or deviation in terms of finances. Honorable members, we trust that we have all come prepared to address substantive issues that we have raised and are ready to respond constructively. I therefore want to invite the Deputy Speaker, the Deputy Minister, Honorable Squatcha, to tender opening words or remarks. If not, we'll go straight to the DG, Ntate Ramasodi, and the officials of the department can take us through their presentation. You have 30 minutes. You may proceed. I thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee. Honorable Chair has raised quite a few issues that we will respond to, especially around the audit improvement plan, and we will touch base on those as we make the presentation today. Saving on the time, let me allow for this arrangement that we take through the 15 minutes for the presentations on performance, on non-financial performance, and then 15 minutes on financial performance. On the non-financial performance, we will have Mr. Mukutula Khobo, DDG, responsible for corporate services, to make the presentation. And the CFO will concentrate on the financial performance. And those explanations, as instructed by the chairperson, will be taken. So with your permission, Chair, we will go through the fourth and quarter one performance by Mr. Khoboko for 15 minutes, and we'll do the inverse with the performance on financial. Thank you very much. Over to you, Dr. Khoboko.
Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Deputy Minister and members and DG, good morning. I will move hand in hand with the Secretariat as they help me with the slides. May we go to the summary slide, the next slide. Maybe let me just explain this just to remind members once again that in terms of the DPME, either the target has been achieved 100% or not achieved. Even if you are at 99%, it will be regarded as not achieved. May we move to the next slide? The next slide is the summary. Honorable members, that is the performance of the programs as at the end of quarter four, 2021-2022. May we move to the next slide? The next slide is the graphical representation of the previous summary. The slide we are on is year-on-year quarterly performance, where we compare two financial years, 2020-21 and 2021-22, and we are comparing the quarters, the performance of the department per quarters. May we move to the next slide? The next slide is a depiction of the performance of the programs per quarter as we look at 2021-22. We can see how programs performed per each of the quarters of the 2021-22. May we move to the next slide? In terms of program one, Chairperson, we have got the target on invoices, payment of invoices in 30 days. As members can see, we're at 95%, but it is still red because it is not 100%. And the reason for variance is simply because some of the invoices which are received are found to be having discrepancies and have to be returned to the suppliers for correction. But there has been an upward movement in terms of improvement in terms of this target. The next slide, please. This is program two. Let's move on. Next slide. This is the target on the livestock improvement scheme, which has not been achieved, honorable members. And the reason for that is simply because the program is implemented by the Agricultural Research Council. There has been an agreement to say going forward, the department will have to meet with the ARC and the provincial departments of agriculture and end up in a service level agreement, because much as the scheme is implemented by the ARC, the implementation is done by provinces. The Department of Agriculture is doing oversight. So there's still a need that this arrangement should be solidified. And in the meantime, as an intervention, it was decided that this should not be in the APP. The next slide. Can we move to the next program, Program 3, Food Security, Land Reform and Restitution. There is a target there, honorable members, on the allocation of hectares of land to women, designated groups. The target was 50% for quarter four, and only 38% was achieved. The reason for that, honorable members, is because the acquisition of those properties, of those hectares, happened late, beyond the quarter four. But as we speak, as I'm reporting, acquisition has happened, and as we speak, allocation is being done to those designated groups. I'm sure at a later stage, members of the portfolio committee can be apprised in terms of to what extent has this target been achieved. But allocation has been done as we speak. The next slide, it is the same with the next slide. Honorable members, hectares of land allocated to young people. The next slide, please. And the number of hectares, percentage of hectares allocated to people with disability. It is the same reason the acquisition happened beyond quarter four, and the allocation is being done to this designated groups. Let's move to the next slide. The next slide is the Tankra areas that have been transferred. The quarter four target was one, and this was not achieved, honorable members. This target, members, has a lot of dependencies. Municipalities are involved, legal entities, and so forth. And these dependencies affected the achievement of this target. But this is ongoing. As I speak, there will be other progress that shall have been achieved. Resolutions of municipalities, delays which have to do with legal entities impeded the achievement of this target. Let's move on. This one is on labor tenants applications finalized. The target was 550 and only 32 was achieved. Now, this one, honorable members, is another one with dependencies where municipalities are involved and even where legal processes may be involved. And these dependencies impeded the achievement of this target as at the end of fourth quarter. But the planned intervention is there. The department, with the assistance of the Office of the Special Master on Labor Tenants, as we know, we do have the Special Master who's helping the department to fast track the achievement of labor tenants' claims. So this is also ongoing as we speak. I'm sure if we were to revisit this target, the achievement numbers shall have changed by now. The next slide, please. The next slide. Thank you very much. Number of farms supported through Land Development Support Program, members. The quarter four target was 8 and nothing was achieved. And the reasons for variance cited there is that there were delays in the development of business plans as a result of dispute between the community organizations and the department on the 2% management fee. So issues of supply chain management delayed in terms of making sure that the target is achieved on time. The next slide. We are now on program four, rural development. The quarter four target was 657 youth trained. and the output is 346. And the provinces which were affected are Free State, GP, KZN, Limpopo, Northern Cape, and Northwest. And as we can see, Chair, by the time this information was supplied to monitoring and evaluation, there was still no portfolio of evidence. But as we can see later, for example, when we go to quarter one, we will realize quarter one of 22-23, we will realize that achievement in terms of this particular target is satisfactory. But at the time of reporting, portfolio of evidence was missing. May we go to the next slide? Next slide, please. The next slide, number of technology research projects completed. The target for quarter four was 3, only 1 was achieved. There were other processes, Chairperson, which were involved in the achievement of this target. There were delays due to animal ethics clearance. We are also told about the service provider who was not able to complete the projects due to various challenges experienced during the project. So there were other dependencies which actually impeded the achievement of the target. May we move to the next slide? Thank you very much. This one is tied to Program 5, Economic Development, Trade and Marketing. The target was 19 FPSUs that were supported towards functionality. And as we can see, honorable members, nothing happened in the Eastern Cape, KZN, and Western Cape. And the reason of variance cited is that there were delays in delivery of requested items by the appointed service providers. Even with this particular target, service providers were involved and there were delays in terms of some of the products which they were supposed to deliver on. The next slide. Number of new agricultural enterprises supported. The target was 7, output was 4. And we can see that because of delays in delivery of requested items by the appointed service providers, some targets were not achieved, particularly in Limpopo and in the Western Cape. The next slide, please. Number of new agricultural enterprises supported. Honorable members, the target was 9. What was achieved is 6. Those 6 non-agricultural enterprises which were supported and those that were not supported are reflected in red. I think there were also delays there in terms of some of the products which were supposed to be linked to the delivery of that target. The next slide, please. Number of smallholder producers accessing MAFISA loan. The target was 75. The output is 23. The reason for variance cited members is that the limited number of intermediaries and MAFISA loan is deemed demand driven. In other words, it has to be, you know, the response from the farmers who come to say, may I be assisted. The next slide. Marketing of Agricultural Products Act reviewed. The target was public consultations on this bill. It was not achieved at the time of reporting. These consultations had not taken place. And the reasons for variance is that facilitation of public consultation on the bill could not be undertaken due to delays in obtaining the advice of the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. The opinion from that office delayed in coming, and that affected the program for consultation. The next slide. This target members has to do with negotiations, bilateral agreements, negotiations, the status report on bilateral engagement south-south and north-south was the target. This was not achieved. This is a difficult target. We came to realize along the way that it is something that is not necessarily time bound, because you can never know when will negotiations be initiated between which two countries. And we have since realized that it will be very, very important to apply our minds appropriately when we plan around bilateral agreements and negotiations. The next slide. This one is the same reason, members, but this one is focusing on the African continent. The next slide. This is program 6, land administration. The target there, members, focuses on an IT system called EDRS. The idea was to achieve 75% of the system completed, but due to processes which involve CETA, procurement issues have to be done through CETA, and delays with CETA affected the achievement of this target. The next slide. The next slide is also focusing on a bill, this Registries Amendment Bill. This was not achieved, members. And the reason why it was not achieved is because of the lengthy NEDLAC processes, sometimes meetings not convening, and it affected the time frames. But if we were to check on progress in terms of this bill, I think good progress has since been achieved as we speak. The next slide. Here the target was the average number of working days taken to process cadastral documents. The target was 15 days to be taken, but 18 days were taken. They were more by 3 days. And the reason for variance, which is cited, is that there's a limitation on number of staff that were allowed to be at work. This has to do with COVID-19 restrictions. May we go to the next slide? Chairperson, I focused only on the rates as instructed by the chairperson. Maybe we can now go to quarter 4, 2022-23. If you can load the quarter 4 2022-23, please.
Quarter 1 in the Khobok.
I mean quarter 1, not, yes. Thanks, Chair. Thank you very much. In terms of quarter 1 of 2022-23, Chairperson, you can see that there's a new performance trajectory. We are at 79%. We've got two programs which performed outstandingly, Program 2 and Program for rural development, which were able to obtain 100%. May we move to the next slide? That's the graphical representation. This one, Chairperson, is a comparison of the years, the performance of different branches per quarter for over a 3-year period, 2020 to 2021, up to quarter one of 2022-23. It just shows how the different programs have been performing. The next slide. This one, Chair, we are now at 97% in terms of the processing of invoices within 30 days. Chair, you remember that during the last quarter, we were at 95%. So there is evidence that there is improvement and that we'll be able to reach 100%. The next slide. Let's just go to the red. This one, Chair, has to do with number of farms supported through the Land Development Support Program. The target for quarter one was 17 and only 6 was achieved. We have been given those reasons for variance, invoices submitted by commodity organizations not complying, thus causing the delays in the achievement of this target. Commodity organizations were involved, were contracted to do some work, and there were delays from their side, which actually affected the achievement of this target. The next slide. May we move? This one, Chair, has to do with number of land claims settled. Quarter one target was 48, output is 35. And those are the provinces affected, those that are in red. There were delays in terms of other dependencies, Chairperson, which affected the achievement of these targets. But certainly, this is work in progress. Usually targets which are not achieved in a particular quarter, will be dealt with in the ensuing quarter of the financial year. May we move to the next slide? Number of new agricultural enterprises supported. The quarter one target was 10 and output only 1. And we have been apprised of the causes, the reason for variance, misalignment between the targets of the line function in the APP and the integrated operational plan of the PSSC. And I think the line function has taken an effort to deal with this matter so that in future it doesn't become a hindrance again, Chairperson. May we move to the next slide? The next slide. The next slide, please. This one has to do with EDRS, Chair. You'll remember that during quarter four, we experienced delays related to the CETA. There is still this engagement between the department and the CETA to come up with new ways of working to ensure that we do no longer experience delays from the CETA side. May we move to the next slide? Thank you very much. I will stop here in terms of quarter one. 2022-23 with focus on those targets which were not achieved. Thank you very much.
CFO, as requested by the chair.
CFO, you may proceed.
Thank you, Chair. Can the presentation be put up? Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members, DG and colleagues. Thank you. Chair, I must perhaps apologize for not sending through the report on fruitless and wasteful and irregular expenditure. I forwarded it currently to Ralph. I think it might have been an oversight on our side, but we have the report that we update on a quarterly basis, and we report on it both to the audit committee and to our EXCO. So I forwarded it. On the audit implementation plan, we've got the old audit implementation plan that we have closed at the end of the financial year. And now that we have finalized the audit, we have developed an audit action plan, even that we can forward a check. We just have not started implementing the plans because we just have finished the audit. So we developed the plan. It can be forwarded, and we will do so. Our apology, it was truly an oversight. Now coming to the report, I've got the report for the last quarter of the financial year and the first quarter of this current financial year. As at end of the financial year, our budget was at 18 billion. We spent 16.8 billion of that, and 1.1 billion is what we are declaring back to the revenue fund. So the department ended at 93.8%. In terms of the expenditure, the underspending was mostly on our core business, being the food security and agrarian reform, restitution, land redistribution and tenure projects, agriculture, production, biodiversity and natural resources, rural infrastructure development, national geomatic services and spatial planning and land use management. So it was really across the board and on the core service delivery programs of the department. Next slide. Now, if we were to look at the details of what makes up the 1.1 billion, 288 million of that was on COE, and I think we have continuously reported on that throughout the year that we were busy with the filling of vacant posts. You will see as we go into the first quarter that this picture has changed, although not 100%, but there is a big improvement because a whole lot of those that have been appointed have started working, and it's now reducing the underspending on compensation of employees. On goods and services, we had an allocation of 3.6 billion, 4.2 billion, we spent 3.6 billion. So we ended at 87% with an under expenditure of 538 million, made up of PACI at 378.7 million, and the farming supplies, which are what PACI is, and 177 million on consultants. We had 151 million on infrastructure planning services and 89 million on contractors. On household, we had a budget of 2.8 billion. We ended up at 86.4% and of the 454 million that we couldn't spend, 209 million was for land claims settlements. 193 was for land redistribution and tenure projects. 59 million was for land development support projects. And on local governments, we had over expenditure on rates and taxes, and on goods and services under infrastructure projects, we had 81.9 million that could not be spent. Next slide. That there is just pace where the allocation of 993 million, we managed to spend 614 million. 378 was not spent. We have asked for rollover. Next item. These are just some of the reasons that led to under expenditure. We have also developed interventions, the delays in the approval and implementation of projects. The agreement was that the projects will be approved before the start of the financial year to enable procurement process to commence earlier. On the late submission of invoices, you saw we ended up at 97%. Although there's improvement, the compliance requirement is at 100%. So the central point of delivering and submitting invoices is the agreement. We had a treasury in communication that we had to suspend our procurement from the 16th of February to somewhere mid-May. That had an impact on our service delivery, so because we couldn't continue to procure except for up to 30,000, which was allowed. The rest we couldn't continue with the procurement. So that has an impact on some of our projects. Next item. We go into the first quarter. The current budget is below what we had last year, which was 18 billion. We're sitting at 17.2 billion. We spent 2.4 billion and we still have 14.8 billion. That is 14.4%. So if we were to look at the linear targeting, ignoring what we had said we will withdraw, we should have been sitting at 25%. However, we withdrew 4.1 billion from the revenue fund. We only used 2.4 billion, and we remained with 1.6 billion unspent as end of the first quarter, equating to 60.2% of the drawings. Next item. The under expenditure again is really across the most core business or core functions and programs of the department, being your food security, land reform, restitution, EDTM, rural development, APB, NRM, and land administration. On the overs underspent, we mostly have the vacant post, which I have indicated that it has reduced quite a lot because a lot of people have started working that we've hired towards the end and beginning of the current financial year. We still have our disagreements with Public Works because of the credits that we have that have not been resolved. So we are still engaging them. We have not paid the invoices. So that does impact on the budget, on spending. There is a meeting that is currently set with Public Works. We are not wanting to pay because of the credit, and we feel we cannot continue to increase the credit. On the other projects that require the procurement, the National Treasury suspension, like I've indicated before, has impacted on the first quarter. With the second quarter, we are seeing an improvement. Delays in the finalization of valuations and dispute with landowners and land claimants regarding the amounts that are offered is impacting on the work of land redistribution and restitution, and delays of acquisition of land because of prolonged facilitation and negotiations with landowners is also impacting those two programs. Next item. Most of this I've already spoken to. Next item. Thank you. As on the economics classification, you can see what I was indicating on compensation of employees. Although we have an underspending on the compensation of employees, you can see we are already sitting on 23.2% of the 25% linear target. So there has been an improvement there. I must just indicate that there is currently work that is going on. We have projected an underspending towards year end on economic on this economic classification. We have agreed that due to the current disaster on foot and mouth diseases, those savings will be used to appoint officials that will help with the implementation of the strategies on management of foot and mouth diseases. And some of the money we've allocated for the appointment of extension officers, although it's not a long-term intervention. So we're intervening until year end because of the savings that we have, for there's no additional allocation coming from National Treasury. On goods and services, we're sitting at 442 million. With the available budget of 3 billion. Perhaps you can go to the next slide. On goods and services, we have spent 45.9% of the drawings to date, and the under expenditure mostly on operating leases and property payments. That's where we are having issues with the DPWE, and we are trying to resolve that. We've got 81 million consultants and computer services sitting at 115 million. On households, the issues with land claims, settlements and redistribution and tenure projects is still the same that I've indicated previously, that the valuations and the protracted negotiations with the landowners and claimants tend to affect the rate at which we spend. On provincial and local governments, we had 368 million. There has been delays in payments of CASP and ILIMA ILITSIMA because of the agreements that had not been finalized. On the public corporation private enterprises, we have 101 million, which is a transfer to the land bank. It has been rescheduled, and we are expecting that we'll pay it in this quarter, and some of it will be paid in the third quarter. And capital assets over expenditure was mainly due to the under projection for rural infrastructure projects and restitution and land acquisition expenditure. Next item. The recruitment is currently also going on, more especially for the foot and mouth diseases and the extension services and our own permanent officials. As previously indicated, we are pleased that Treasury has lifted, although it was almost towards the end of the quarter, the instruction to suspend the procurement processes that has really impacted on the last quarter of the previous year and the first quarter of this year. On the CASP, the payments are currently going on, and the ILIMA and ILITSIMA we are paying. And on the contractors for rural infrastructure projects, there are projects that are currently going on. We are a bit behind because our days for finalizing, advertising and finalizing tenders, it's 90 days as per the regulations that we need to follow. The delay has really impacted on our ability to fast track the work. There are improvement plans to fast track land claim settlements. We think the expenditure will begin to improve in this quarter, second quarter, and the deliveries of the goods for supporting farmers is currently underway. Next item. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you, Dr. Ramaswamy and the team. I don't know if the chair is still on the platform with us. Honorable members, that is the presentation of the non-financial performance and the financial performance of quarter four of the last financial year, as well as the first quarter of 2022-23. Opening the platform for members to engage. Mm-hmm. Honorable Marshall, followed by Honorable Kruger, Honorable Montwedi, Honorable Masipa, Honorable Kapa will take other hands in that order. Chairperson, thank you very much and good morning to members on the platform, my colleagues and officials. Chairperson, I have few questions that I will suggest the department will help me. I will start with my concern is mainly focused on the CPAs supported in quarter three, in program three, and then we then go to quarter four. 21-22, the financial year of 2021-2022, which 183 of the CPAs were supposed to be to 123 were supported to comply with the legislation. When you go to quarter one, 2022-2023, 783 CPAs as supported, they were planned, 97 were trained in governance. Now, my question here is that by March 2021, there were 1,707 CPAs registered. The department should tell us as the committee how many new CPAs were registered by the fourth quarter of 2021-2022 and the first quarter of 2022-2023. The second issue on the CPA, a total number of 783 CPAs trained in quarter one registered 45% of the CPA. Does mean that it is possible to train all registered CPA in the financial year. The following question raised on the above matter, Chairperson. Can the department submit a list of all registered CPAs and mark those that have been trained on that register, which must be submitted, as well as demonstrate the types of training conducted on those CPAs. The other issue on the CPA, Chairperson, what is the total cost of training of all 783 CPAs, and was the budget for the 97 CPAs, was the budget for 97 CPAs? For the 783 CPAs, how many sessions and what cost each on those sessions? We know that the committee has in the past tried to narrow focuses on the compliance to legislation rather than the functions of the CPA. This report lacks indicators that inform a parliament or us as the committee on oversight body about the functionality of the registered 1,707 CPAs. Why did the department indicator change from compliance to legislation to train in governance? That is the issue that I wanted the department to help me with. And Chairperson, before I go out of the platform, let me just finish up what I wanted to also to check on the, if you go and check on program three, a question of strategic located land. The department on quarter four of 2021-2022, the department acquired 5046.469 as opposed to the target of 8495 hectares. The department
sorry, Honorable Marshall. Honorable Mandela, please mute.
Okay.
Apologies, Chair.
Sorry.
Thank you very much. Chairperson, as I was still on the platform, on quarter 2020-2023, on the same issue, the department acquired 13,131.0217.218 hectares, as opposed to the planned of 2,437 hectares. In quarter four, slide 31, which was presented here, the department stated that the big transaction in the NW, which yielded the 30,000 hectares. Was received from the restitution and finalized under the LRTR branch. Can the department explain what it means? Because to my knowledge, I don't understand. They can maybe explain what it means. What was the land acquired through restitution, but according to under the LRTR? That is the question. In what way can land claim under the restitution become acquisition of the strategically allocated land? Can the department also explain the changes of the indicators from the acquisition of the strategically located land? Acquisition of land through PLS, why was the strategic location of the land to be acquired dropped from the indicators? So let me stop here. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Marshall, Honorable
Thank you, Jay. Let me appreciate the presentation from the department. And good morning to all the colleagues from Sunshine Mpumalanga. Madam Chair, I'm very concerned about the 30 days payment. I think it was slide 14. The directive is clear. All small businesses must be paid in 30 days time. So I just want to know how many invoices are involved that's not been paid yet, and how much is the rand value of this invoices. And then my second, it's not a question, it's just, it seems like the department is underperformed. If I look at, all the slides, it's red and red and red, but they already spent 16 billion rand. The underspend is 10%, but I think the underperformance is much more than 10%. So yes, I'm sure there is some reasons for not performing,
but I'm worried about, you know, if you don't perform, then the finances must show that. I mean, you can't spend the money and not perform. So if they can just give me clarity on that. I thank you, Munchie.
Thanks, Honorable Kruger, Honorable
Mundwedi. Thank you very much, Mem Anketsi. A very good day to everybody in the meeting. There are many issues that one would want to raise, but I just want to pick up on the one issue which remains a very serious concern for me. It is the issue on the land development support. This is a very important program of the department which would actually contribute to making sure that there's food security in the country. But I'm seriously concerned about this program, because when you look at what the department is doing now, there are many farms which were very productive farms. Those farms are no longer productive because the department bought land, it has given land to our people, but there's no support in order to make sure that some of those lands continue to be in production. If you can remember, there's one example of that farm when the portfolio committee was in the Northwest, said to be the Beatrix farm, where the farm is not used and they are waiting for the business plan. It's a serious concern to say, why is the department not getting these things right? About 2 years ago, the department mentioned that they've appointed commodity organizations so that they could fast track the process of supporting the farms. Now, when you see today, we still have got such problems where there's actually no movement. I want to understand, Mema and Kids, from the side of the department to say, what plans are in place for the department to ensure that they make sure that this program of land and development support is actually implemented in such a way that our people must actually get to be able to get whatever assistance that they need from the department. It's a serious concern. I just want the clarity on that land development support and the challenges around the quick finalization of that thing. The other thing, quickly, Mema Nkesi, is the presentation also spoke of the Mafisa loans, that they are demand-driven and indicated something around intermediaries. It's not true. There are farmers that want to access the Mafisa loans. The problem that you must look into as a department is those intermediaries that you are using for them to get money from Mafisa and then go give money to farmers, because they get money from Mafisa at a reasonable low interest rate, and they get to double or triple that when they go to loan money to farmers. So look into that thing, because you can't be saying that there's no demand for Mafisa loan. The demand is very high. Look what could possibly be the problem why farmers look no longer interested on those things, Chair. And then the last part is on the animal improvement program. The former DG, former DG used to call it nicely, Taonafatso ya dikgomo. And your reason for not having done well in this thing, you are saying it is because the program is implemented by the ARC. Now you ask yourself, what is the ARC? As if the ARC is something that is not within your reach as a department. Or maybe if you forgot, ARC happens to be one of your, what do you call them? I forgot this thing. One of your entities. Why are you unable to hold your entity to account? Because there are programs of animal improvement that are actually not happening correctly. Why up until now you've not been able to deal with this thing? This excuse of the ARC, your department raised this thing 2-3 years ago, and you're still raising this thing now. I don't think it's fair, because farmers would really want to participate in this program. And what are the programs that you are running under animal improvement programs that you are saying they're failing? Those are the three issues that I want to raise. Thank you very much, Mayor Mankese Thape, the self-appointed acting chairperson and the chairperson of the committee.
Very controversial. Like this. Honorable Masipa. Thanks, Honorable.
thanks, the self-appointed chairperson. thank you very much. To the department, thank you for your presentation. I've got quite a lot, Chair, in terms of really engaging this presentation, but I will try and be as quick as possible. So the concern, obviously, Honorable Kruger raised with regards to the performance, you know, at 57% and against the budget that is underspent at 10%. So that variation is a bit of a concern. But Chair, this is an indictment also on us, you know, as members of this portfolio committee in terms of our work of oversight, because really, I mean, the performance of this department, it leaves a lot to be desired, you know. Because if you look at it right now, at the end of the year, we're going to find this performance, you know, reflecting this very, very bad performance. And obviously, you know, the department would have failed, the farmers would have failed, obviously, food security in the country. Chair, slides 10 and 11 say really very not much. Basically, they say the same. I would think that they don't really say much of a difference, so I'm not going to comment on there. I don't understand slide 13. If really Dr. Khoboko can just help me to just clarify what is really being said here on the slide. I see that is year-on-year quarterly performance, but really what really this says, because it just says 20, you know, blue is 2020, 2021, and red is 2021. Whether where the quarters are, I can't really see. But if you can just help in terms of clarifying that. Again, slide 14 also is just too busy. I'm not getting what the message is on that particular slide. I had an issue with regards to slide number 20. I think that Dr. Montwedi has already covered it, that the excuse of ARC being another department, that's not good enough. Chair, that the department can tell us about the ARC while the ARC report to them directly. Maybe they should have brought the ARC here to account in terms of this particular area. Chair, the issue of surveillance, FMD, slide number 24. Chair, there's continued stock theft, there's continued issues of foot and mouth disease. So the target here, as far as I'm concerned, has been achieved. Despite all the challenges that we are faced with regards to foot and mouth disease. There don't seem to be police on the ground. There don't seem to be stop, search, and obviously, you know, check the vehicles, movement, and so forth. There don't seem to be really strict biosecurity in all the areas. I have received so far during this 21 days of lockdown of animal movement, two reports, one from KZN, one from Northwest. Of animals being stolen. So, Chair, I just want to get clarity with regards to this being achieved and while we are having the situation with regards to foot and mouth disease in the country, what are they doing right that is not happening on the ground in terms of reflection around the foot and mouth disease, you know, being stopped? There is slide number 25 where the indication is that they have managed to employ the CCS program for eligible veterinary services. The question that I have for the department, Chair, is how many veterinary doctors do we have in the country? What is the amount of the vacant posts in the whole country? Furthermore, Chair, on slide number 27, I will try really to be fast, Chair. The indication is that the department has really achieved the biosecurity. Normally, on a reporting basis, we normally get a report that is separate with regards to biosecurity budget and so forth. And I did raise a concern, Chair, with regards to the budget allocation around the biosecurity. Indications are that the biosecurity here in Northern Cape has been matched. Can we get status of the biosecurity in the whole country? Instead of just getting the Northern Cape, why was the Northern Cape being the only targeted province to attend to
regarding the biosecurity. Chair, the department is reporting to us in a very critical situation with regards to the citrus export. There is no, obviously, you know, this is the target that they have budgeted for. But Chair, to be honest, we have had some issues with regards to citrus, and the department has never really briefed us. Can the department really update this committee with regards to the dispute that has been lodged with WTO, and obviously, you know, the support that they are giving to farmers that will be experiencing the losses as a result of this EU's ridiculous regulations that they have put in place. Chair, around the CPA, which is slide number 32, I think Mem Matho did touch on that. But I think for me, really, the report that the department needs to provide us with regards to CPA, really, I would like them to give us a report with regards to how many of the CPA are working and how many are not working, and what the department is doing in order really to solve the problems. Because, you know, the picture looks good here, it's green, but on the ground, it's a terrible situation. So, Chair, I would really prefer that the department really brief us around, you know, what is really working and what is not working with the CPA, and what are they doing really to solve those problems. Slide number 33. Is with regards to the employment of extension service officers. There is obviously a concern with regards to the enough extension, enough food on the ground to manage the foot and mouth disease. The indication are that they have achieved the employment of the extension services officer. With regards to the 5,000 that the minister, or 10,000, I can't remember the exact number. How far is the department in terms of really ensuring that those extension officers are employed? On slide number 34, colleges. The indicators there are looking good, that colleges are doing well and so forth. Chair, the challenges here is that the infrastructure in some of the colleges are very bad. We don't know what is really happening on production, on farms. I would really love the department to just brief us with regards to the conditions of these colleges across the country. Potchefstroom is one example that I did an oversight, Chair. It's looking very, very bad for our kids to be learning under those circumstances. So, Chair, I would really love to hear the feedback with regards to the conditions of all these colleges across the country. The other thing, Chair, that I have got a concern around is around the report with regards to the, you know, how many hectares were bought and all those kinds. It looks good, yeah, on paper, but the reality is that this is not just about buying the land. It's about the land being productive. It's about the support that are provided. It's about the economic value of the land. In some instances. So, Chair, if really the department can just really explain the amount of those sectors that they indicated that they have acquired that are productive, and challenges that are faced by those, and obviously brief us on the post-settlement support as well. Previously, Chair, we used to receive the report around the blended finance. And again, I agree with Ntate Montwedi around the issue of the department reporting to us saying that they are going to work with the commodity groups and things will run smoothly. But it looks like things are not running smoothly. If the department can really just give us indication what is happening with us working relationship to ensure that our farmers are supported. So on the blended finance, we have gotten, the department has got an agreement with IDC, if we can get that feedback with regards to the blended finance and also the Agri-BEE, because I see it's also not covered. And why was it taken out? I do not know, but I think the department should be able to explain to us. With regards to slide 49, rural development, it's indicated that there's number of jobs that have been created or initiatives to create jobs. If the department can really brief us with regards to those kind of jobs or those kind of initiatives that they have really created in order to create a jobs program. The farmer support, production support unit. This is really a painful area where really money has been spent and there is no value for money here. And I hear that the department today, they're telling us that they are going to be providing support to this farmer production support unit. I know one in West Rand, which is in a mess, and in the Western Cape, this thing did not work. Is the department going to just throw money at the gate, try to solve this problem? Because throwing money into these problems that this farmer production support unit are experiencing is definitely not going to solve the problem. So, Chair, I just want if they can really provide us with the feedback. Chair, there is quite a lot that's undesirable with regards to the feedback from the department, but I think I'm going to stop here. I'm sure some of my colleagues will cover other areas with regards to land administration, which has not been done, and we know the challenges regarding the land administration, but I leave it there, Chair, for now. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Masipa. This is the final quarter, mostly. That's why I allowed you this time. And I know how members are feeling about this performance report. Honorable Kapa.
Thank you very much, Chair, Initiative Chair. I have only a few questions to the department. And these questions I'm raising based on my feeling of not being happy about their performance. Let me lay that basis. One question, are there any areas or pieces of legislation that would need our attention or reconsideration so that it can make them perform better? Second question, are there any consequences for poor performance, that is to managers now, or other way around, any incentives for best performance, which would, to me, assist in this performance areas? Next question, when are they going to change this situation and improve in this unpalatable performance, level of performance? When and how? But the how is important. This question is specifically to me because I want to, I want us to stay on the lane of hope and not on the lane of desperation. An answer to this question will assist me. And another question for me, according to your assessment in the department, the issue of taking a development area or responsibility in the department and be given to the research entity, has this or is this proving to be viable or the best way to do? Because it will tell you that because this part of our performance, operation was taken from this part of department and given to a research institution, and therefore it makes better. If not, I'll be happy to be clarified also. And the last one is the one I have always been complaining with. That in this department, wherever, that is why it's not sometimes even difficult to tabulate your performance properly. There is nowhere where there is indication that we are addressing the three evils of unemployment, poverty, and inequality. And in my understanding, there is none of the programs that cannot be addressing these issues, these areas, these evils. But if it's not conscious, if there is no consciousness that this area actually is addressing unemployment and this is how and quantified including now the poverty, because this is what is about when we go to the people that who are working for. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kapa. Honorable Chete.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to colleagues, members of parliament, and the officials of the department. Chairperson, firstly, I don't understand. How do we underspend on our core function? I'm just wondering, ukuthi department kanti yenza njani to underspend on food security and rural development? Those are the functions that talk to our people. Seemingly, Chair, the department has a serious challenge of planning. Maybe UDG must asondele kwababantu that are dealing with planning, because they plan, and this planning yabo is planning to fail. They set up targets for themselves, but they cannot achieve those very same targets. I'm really, really disturbed by this underspending on food security and land reform and restitution. Abantu bakuthi abana mhlaba, bafuna umhlaba and bafuna ukusebenza umhlaba. Secondly, we are a country in a challenge of poverty. So this thing of food of underspending on food security, it does not make sense to me, especially on payments of CASP and ILIMA and land care. I do not understand. But Chair, let me zoom into what I want to comment on and ask clarity seeking questions. On the 15th of February this year, when the department was presenting the first to its third quarter reports, it reported that it was finalizing a process for proper implementation of a presidential economic stimulus initiative, that is UPESI, following its suspension to ensure that farmers, they benefit. It also mentions that an announcement of the resumption of PESI will be done in the next few days, which the members questioned, even when, as the financial year was ending in March. Even worse, Chair, after a poor implementation of the COVID-19 disaster fund and the important issue. And the important issue that I'm disturbed, Chair.
Commissioner, please mute. All right, ma'am.
A poor implementation of the COVID-19 disaster fund and the important issues that were raised and recommendation made by the Auditor General. It does not seem that the department is learning anything, Chair, because there are clear recommendations by Auditor General. It reports that under expenditure on PESI was mainly due to delays in the verification of application and shortage of suppliers. This is despite previously reporting to this very same committee that it has addressed issue that was highlighted in the implementation of the COVID-19 disaster fund and has developed system to efficiently verify applications and has even spent $1 million on some ICT systems. That was in their report, Chair. How come the same system, if it worked for a COVID-19 fund, let alone other programs and grants that acquire e-verification, could not be used for PESI? If the department is using a different system, of which intervention, of each intervention, how does it prevent double dipping for beneficiaries? Because this was the issue, Chair, that was raised by AMA Pharma, that even the department raised this, reported this with us, that there are elements of corruption, that some of the beneficiaries do not have IDs and stuff. But now my question is, doesn't the department have a supplier database for this issue of UPIS? Now, Chair, the department also reported with us on the allocation of land for women, youth, and people with disability. Only 9% has been achieved in this quarter. In quarter four, 9%. I don't understand. I don't know whether the department does not have a program that talks to women, youth, and people with disability. On the issue of CPA, Chair, as Honorable Marshall has indicated, and Honorable Masipa, on the list that needs to be submitted, can I just, Chair, I agree with what they have said, as in everything, especially Mama Marshall, what needs to be submitted to us, can it be submitted in writing? And I just want to add a time frame of the 12th of September. If that is okay, if that's, the chairperson can also agree on that. I need clarity, Chair, lastly, on slide 31 of the presentation, where the department states that there's a big transaction in the Northwest, which yielded of about 30,000 hectares, and that was received from restitution and finalized under ELRTR. Can the department explain this? What it means? Was the land acquired through restitution but accounted for under ELRTR? In what ways can it, I don't understand, Chair, in what ways can a land claimed under restitution become acquisition of strategically located land? Can they explain that? For now, Chair, I will wait because I have two more other questions, but I will give chance to other members, and maybe if time allows, I will have another bite. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Khosi Qebekhulu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to our members and the department officials. Chair, I think my colleagues have touched on some of the issues I wanted just to raise. The issue of FMD. Mine now will be just a question around the relaxation by the department officials and in cooperation with the SAPS. When this outbreak was reported, when you move from the Northern KZN towards south, we had points where the officials were stationed to control the movement of animals. Now it seems it has been relaxed. And one really wonders, because the disease has been reported spreading all over the country, why is the department now not focusing on control of the movement of animals? As the announcement was made by the minister that no more movement of animals be allowed until the ministry pronounces on the relaxation. That's the first question, Chairperson. Second one is with regards to the assistance by the department to emerging and subsistence farmers. The vouchers that are issued to those beneficiaries, one has been exposed to a very concerning experience. Out of these people said to be eligible applicants, some of them are not farmers. What they do, they go with these vouchers, take whatever they take from the cooperatives. They go out and resell to eligible farmers. I think the department should start scrutinizing these beneficiaries so as to identify the real eligible farmers rather than wasting government resources with the hope of assisting people, whereas some are not actually doing any good or getting any good out of it except to continue taking those benefits to sell them to other to real eligible farmers. Chairperson, the other issue that I want just to raise, you see these conditional grants that are allocated to the provinces. Currently, we seem to be exposed to these alien plants growing in areas, covering the grazing land, resulting in starving the livestock for the subsistence farmers, chairperson. And the question around it, knowing that there are national employees deployed in provinces, what is their actual role if they cannot make sure that the provinces are doing exactly what they should with the allocated funds in order to assist in dealing with alien plants that are overgrown in the areas on the rural areas. Chairperson, there is another area which I wanted just to talk to. The assistance by the department to some of the groups in our communities where land has been acquired for them to improve their lives. Chairperson, here I want just to point out, you know, these areas that are reported to the portfolio committee, I think they need to be revisited, or if time allows, or even the department, if the department could give us these areas in municipalities and district, local and district municipalities, so that when we are out on our constituency work, we'll be able to really visit those projects and see whether are they tangible, are they real projects that are happening on those areas. Because a lot has been reported about this, but one has not been exposed to see exactly, or to visit exactly and see whether really people are doing what they requested to be assisted on in order to improve their lives. Chairperson, lastly, I need to point out as well, you know, the department has spent a lot on the side of the Land Sales Commission, spent a lot in buying farms for the communities where CPAs were formed to look after those farms, but only to find that since Chairperson on the floor.
Sorry for that. Continue, Honorable Kamakul.
Okay. Since then, these CPAs have occupied the land. You find in some areas they are battling with the destruction caused by the neighboring communities. Isn't there any means of the department to visit those areas and see if they can assist the CPAs in dealing with the destruction that is caused by the neighboring communities. Things like assisting in fencing the boundary so that those who drive their livestock into the farms could sort of be stopped. And over and above, assist in maybe in the understanding that there are people who go and vandalize intentionally, but in some cases then they get arrested for the destruction they cause. So those are the a few things, Chairperson, I wanted just to raise. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thanks, Honorable Tebekulu. Honorable Matias.
Thank you. Good morning, Chairperson, and good morning to colleagues. Look, the department really is an underperformer. It's underperforming in all aspects of its programs. And even if we were to put it through a fast-track program or accelerated program, they would not even meet the minimum requirement of an average grade 12 learner who may not even make it, even if we're to consider condoning or promoting in whatever means an instrument available for such a learner to go to pass matric. Look, I've got three questions, really, and I'm going to talk to only those three. The CPA. We know that as of 2021 March, nationally, there were about 1,707 CPAs. And most of these CPAs are non-compliant. As a result, the department cannot help or intervene, not do anything, including the claim that the department is making that it has trained several of such. It's hard to believe that there's even been an attempt to train those, because the department admits and concedes that most of these CPAs are non-compliant and not meet the minimum bare requirements of been recognized as CPAs because of the flowing reasons. Disputes and feuds within beneficiaries of the CPAs. Two, some of the CPAs have been deregistered. Some of them don't convene annual meetings, don't submit reports, and all sorts of things. And as a result, it's baffling that the department claims that it has trained several of these CPAs when majority of them are in such situation. Our call is that the department must ensure that there is necessary additional capacity created in the department to deal with these challenges that bedevil CPAs. If CPA's model is not working, then government must look into the model, and if there's a need for review, we must be willing to embrace a call to review CPA as a vehicle to manage land-related affairs for land acquired through restitution or land redistribution or any other form of land acquisition. Secondly, the department reports that, Honorable Chair, in respect of land that has been acquired through proactive land acquisition strategy, that in both quarter four of 2021-2022, they have not managed to meet the target they set for themselves of 8,495 hectares of land, which would have been acquired. and in the first quarter of 2022-23, non-performance in respect of this repeats itself once more. What stops the, if there is land available, what stops the department to acquire land as per its own target? But if there's no land, the department must come forth and say there's no land to be acquired because there are no willing sellers. And if there are no willing sellers, why do you set targets of land you would want to acquire when there is no land in the first place? So we need to get to know why you set targets for which you are unable to meet. Concede. There's no land because there are no willing sellers. And in addition to that, it may also be interesting to know for the 8,495 hectares of land the department set to acquire, how much is set aside to realize that objective? Thirdly, on acquisition of farms for farm dwellers and labor tenants, again, the department is underperforming, extremely underperforming. And this happens at a time when the plight of farm workers and farm dwellers and labor tenants has been raised and has been brought to the level where the nation is in conversation and dialogue about the plight of these people. Why underperform, why underservice our people when there is a deeper demand that measures must be taken to attend to the plight of our people? The report says the special master is in the process of developing a master plan or a strategy to deal with these challenges. Perhaps, Honorable Chair, with the indulgence of yourself and the chairperson, Zweli Velile Madiba Mandela, we must consider calling the special master to appear before the committee to get it from the horse's mouth as what are the problems. It will seem that the special master is in office but for doing nothing because they're not getting any benefit of his appointment. Therefore, I'll move, Honorable Chair, that the committee calls on the special master to come and make a presentation on this important matter because the issue of farm dwellers and labor tenants must be addressed as a matter of extreme agency. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Honorable Matthias, Honorable Mahati.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to yourself, to honorable members, to the department led by the DG. And
can we request, sorry, Honorable Mahati, can we request Khosi Kabekulu to mute? Honorable Kabekulu, thank you. Continue, Honorable Mahati.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to yourself and all the honorable members, including the department. Chair, it goes without saying that this is not a very good presentation given what we are seeing. The department has not been able to really perform in a manner that we would have wanted to. Given the centrality of this department and the devastating situation that the country finds itself in. Chair, when you go to, I think it's slide 13, the department, in as far as a core mandate and a principal policy of government in terms of payment of service providers within 30 days. They have not done as expected, because the general expectation is that we will have 100% outcome on this particular issue, precisely because our inability to pay service providers within the time frame as expected has potential to collapse the various SMMEs whom have been struggling for the past 2 years due to COVID. And the reason thereof of inability to achieve this particular target, it does not even make sense. There's no even clear indication of what is actually happening. The mere fact that the service providers being in details are not proper. The department did not do as it's supposed to do, to do due diligence in making sure the processes are followed to the latter. So this is quite, it's not impressing, and we are quite worried. When you go to slide 16, the department on program two, the department equally has not even achieved this particular target. And in their response, in terms of what happened, what were the issues, the reasons for deviation, it says to us the department and the ARC had almost a similar target with utmost, with similar outputs. Now the question comes in, was there no collaboration between the department and its entities during the process mapping of APPs and outcomes? Is the department and its entities working in silos where there is no proper collaboration to make sure that there's no double dipping in terms of what the department is doing and what its entities are doing? Chair, when you go to slide 33 of the presentation, it says to us, I'm moving with my slides on my slide, Chair, please bear with me. On food security, one of the most critical indicators or targets of the department is core mandate. They have not achieved their target, especially on allocation of land to women. On slide 34 is allocation to youth. On slide 35, allocation to people with disability. With people with disability is even worse because the output is zero. On youth is 9%. On women is 38%. When young people have been struggling during COVID, when we're saying agriculture must be at the center in terms of food security, and as far as elevating the lives of the poor, the department continues not to perform well in this critical aspect. When you go to slide 37, Chair, you get to see a dismal performance by department in as far as labor applications finalized. Out of a target of 550, only 30 were assisted or applications were finalized. And equally, Chair, when you look at the reason for deviations, they just do not make sense. You can go to each and every item or every program that had not achieved their targets. It's a clear indication that the department is not doing its part administratively, because all the reasons of deviations are primarily on administrative matters. Now the question is, when the department was planning, was doing its APP, was their APP smart enough to deal with all these particular issues? It can't be that your indicators, your PIDs cannot respond to the issues relating to your own targets, the targets that you have set yourself. So, Chair, without going into deeper details in terms of all these other targets, I just want to say to the department, clearly, your planning process has been weak. Clearly, your implementation processes have been very weak. There is no even an indication of how do you intend to mitigate these particular challenges besides referring them to the next a quarter or the next financial year. So how was the planning done? And this is an APP chair that they themselves developed. They themselves, as when I'm saying they, I'm referring to the department. They have put forth and they are unable to meet their targets. It's quite depressing, in all honesty. It's quite depressing because the under expenditure is correlating with the unachieved target, which is one question that Dean has always been able to of variables and so forth and so on. But for the first time, their under expenditure can correlate to their inability to meet their target. So, Chair, I just want my question to all the issues that I've raised is what is it that the department intend to do to improve this dismal performance? Secondly, what is it, how are they going to make sure that they mitigate all these issues for future purposes? Three, what is the way forward in making sure that the targets that have not been met are able to be escalated, that the people on the ground who have not been receiving services, that the service that was seen by the department is able to take us somewhere? Because in all honesty, Carlo, one is just not happy with the performance of the department. It's quite unfortunate that the executive is not with us today.
Are you done, Honorable Mashati? Let's move to Honorable Mandela.
Thank you, Honorable Thabe. And apologies, Honorable Members. Connectivity in Karbala, in Iraq, doesn't seem to be favoring me. I crashed earlier and had to restart, but I'm back again. So let me take this opportunity to pose my questions, Honorable Chair. The department reports as an achievement the compilation of an annual report on the implementation of Carnivore's master plan. When Honorable Members, it has previously asked, it was previously asked about the status of Carnivore's master plan, the department indicated to us that further consultations were going to be done as there were a number of issues that needed to be addressed, which included the legal status, regulatory framework, seed supply and distribution, as well as education initiatives and producer support. My question, therefore, Honorable Chair, can the department provide an update on some of these issues, particularly the amendments to the Drug and Drug Trafficking Act and restrictions that prohibit commercialization of cannabis, as well as the implications of the cannabis for private purpose bill that is with Parliament to the implementation of the master plan? It should also indicate which department leads the implementation of the Carnivore's master plan and further outline what activities as the Department of Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development implemented as part of the master plan in 2021 and 2022. For example, Honorable Members, what capacity building and support programs has it implemented specifically for emerging producers and rural communities that historically derive livelihoods through cannabis, albeit illegally, to ensure that they receive maximum benefit from the master plan? And I would be speaking with the focus and the view of Lusikisiki or Amampondwe. The department chair has also made financial transfers to the land bank of about 385 million rands through program 3 and 41 million rands through program 5. In both cases, there was no indication on the 2021 and 2022 APP on what the funds to the land bank will be used for. To date, the department has actually failed to account for all the funds that have been transferred to the land bank since 2019. And despite the committee requesting detailed reports on the transferred funds and their utilization, can the DG please outline a detailed report on the utilization of all the funds that have been transferred to the land bank? Every year, the committee goes to great lengths, honorable members, raising important issues during briefings by the department on its annual performance plan and budget. These engagements culminate in the development of the budget vote report with recommendations to the minister. For the 2021-2022 financial year, the committee budget vote was adopted by the National Assembly in May 2021. And thereafter, the minister was expected to submit responses to those recommendations within 3 months. Deputy Minister and the DG, we are as yet to receive responses to those recommendations that were made in the budget vote report. For example, honorable members, one of the recommendations was to ensure quarterly monitoring of provincial allocations, including transfers to the land bank and other entities, or implementing agents. The department is expected to report to Parliament on its monitoring and evaluation activities during each quarterly briefing. Surely, if the department had a functional and efficient M&E system in place, as Honorable Mahlo always requests, it shouldn't still be reporting about the same issues and giving the same reasons regarding poor performance and under expenditure. That is all from my side, Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mandela. Honorable members, let me also deal with some of the issues. But just to say to the department, I really don't know what to call this. For lack of better words, it's extreme underperformance. You close in the financial year with 57%, which then means there's no service on the ground. In a situation where there has been the July unrest, where all the departments, including these departments, we went all out to KZN, to Gauten, to see the plight that those unrest caused to the sector. After COVID, after the floods in KZN, in Eastern Cape, and the department come to us and saying we have applied for rollover. Sugar cane fields were banned. Infrastructure was vandalized. And when we debated, we said small rural towns of agriculture has been affected and they need to be restored because the rural towns, small towns, across the country are the mainstay of agriculture
and we need to resuscitate. And rural development program does not spend. I really don't know for what is it that we have to say. You know, the only problem, Honorable Mandela, with this is that it also has got a bearing on this committee that we're not playing oversight. I don't know how, what will take the department to realize that if they don't perform from the first quarter, then they have a challenge. Because usually they are relaxed, thinking there's time and everything. The next thing, boom, fourth quarter, 57%. You close the year with 57%. Realistic targets. We've always said, are your targets realistic? All the departments, including yourselves, you go on strategic planning. And you come back with those targets, as Honorable Mashati is saying, these are the your own making. This is what you're saying to us you will achieve. Poor planning is at the core and of this poor performance. I'm looking at the first quarter performance also. I'm going to talk to them interchangeably. That even on the 57%, you don't even can go up to 80% on the first quarter. Coming from a bad performance that you close the year with, you still come with 79, and only two programs are at the center of the of that 79%. Honorable members, the department, we spoke about PSE. When people on the ground stood up and said, whoa, we are not benefiting, whoa, your intermediaries are giving us problems. And we said, there's a problem. We even spoke about the criteria that the department used to help our farmers. And now we are sitting today debating or discussing non-performance. What kind of service providers does this department appoint? Pity we can't go into issues of supply chain. They come to us as an aftermath. Delay by service providers challenges, and all this. I remember one day we were discussing performance of the department and we said, COVID is gone, you're going to be exposed because everything by then it was because of COVID. Now COVID is gone and you still come with this underperformance. All these key programs, the executive summary of the CFO, details it for all these programs are the core mandate of the department, but they have underperformed. Honorable Montedi is right about Mashisa. Are you taking information to our people? Because we have won the department in the Ramaswamy to say we usually run as a department with new concepts and leave others at the behind. When there's a new concept, we run with it at the expense of others. Now there's no blood and finance. There's nothing about even the new one-year district model, whatever. You're coming again for Mafisa. There's no uptake in Mafisa. There's no way. If this department is serious about helping our farmers, that farmers will not uptake Mafisa. I just want to know from your good selves, who's responsible for provinces, if you may ask? Because I'm trying to locate the role of the provinces in this under expenditure, because that is where the service delivery must happen. Who's responsible for them? How are you monitoring the provinces? In a country plagued by loss of jobs, people trying to establish businesses and you cannot pay them, can't pay invoices 100%. That is why Honorable Mashati is saying you are even responsible for killing these SMMEs. There's no support on the new enterprises. The whole country, just a target of 9 enterprises to be supported. You can't even reach it. Can't reach that target. Only 6 can be supported. We once had this target, CID, Black and King, assisting the black farmers, upscaling them. There's nothing. So nah, easy. You all over, you come with these targets, you leave them, and at the end of the day, it becomes just a mess. You're under expenditure. Last week when we spoke, when we were listening to the Presidential Advisory Council, there's a gap on legislation on issues of farm tenants. And Honorable Matthias is right. If we don't hurriedly deal with the issue of the farm tenants, then we can as well flesh shop because we're not there for them. And this is the sector of the communities, of society, that is most vulnerable. And it's like they don't belong anywhere. Honorable Kapa spoke about legislation that would enable you to perform. I don't even know if it will. Because all of a sudden, when you look at the issues of CPAs, I have always maintained that technically CPAs don't even have a legislation because that bill is passed somewhere. It's not, there's no movement on it. And compliance, which one? If we have to say they must comply. And our obsession with compliance to legislation that does not even exist, it's a problem. So now really, I don't know what to say about the performance of this department, Honorable Mandela. And I think as the committee, would still have to have our session. That will be my submission. Look at this, because the very same targets, if they have been taken over, looking at the result, the reasons that has been provided, it's going to be a tall order. I also want to know from this one here, the bilateral agreement that the Ramaswamy, are you now dumping it? Because the presentation is saying, including even the African continent bilateral agreement is a challenge. And I was like, at some stage I knew that the minister and yourself were sitting in these committees in the continent, the president has chaired a committee. What is difficult in engaging and making sure that as South Africa, as the sector in this country, we also benefit from this African continent agreement. Now, if even bilateral agreements are a tall order, what about them now? Are you gonna just dump them or what is happening to this target? Honorable members, now I'm having a challenge. If we're having a department that cannot perform on its core mandate, I mean, we should be bringing other issues to say, how do we become creative in achieving this and that, but the core mandate issues and this underperformance is a problem, it's a challenge. I'm just waiting to see what will the Auditor General say, because last financial year, there was engagement between the department and not agreeing with what the Auditor General was saying. And here we are today. I'm just sitting and waiting for that report that will come and talk about the leadership challenge in this department. Because I'm looking at all this and thinking about that template that the department, that Auditor General will bring and say there's a challenge in leadership. The department will really have to go deeper into answering this one. In fact, what is the challenge? Where's the challenge? Is there no enough monitoring? You presented to us that you are busy with technology, we were having something tools that will make you to be able to monitor better. There's nothing that is happening. If we have to say, for 57 closing the financial year, there's no department. And I don't know what will the public say. What do we say to the public with this? I would wonder at some stage, Honorable Mashwa, I don't know if it's your legacy hand that one, or you still want to come back, because I want to give over to the department.
Yes, before giving back to the department, only, excuse me.
Oh, all right. Now, honorable members, we once spoke to say we are almost at the end of this term and wonder what will be our legacy in this department as a committee.
we should be sitting now and saying, how do we deal with issues study court interdict on issues of land? But the general stuff that the department should be performing on is not even possible, because we should be trying to engage and unlock issues that are like that. So if even on these tiles that they are setting themselves and they cannot perform, it's a challenge. Those will be my comments and questions, Honorable Maso, before I hand over to the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I reserved some of the few things that I wanted to ask, although some members have touched on some of the things, but I do have specific issues to raise, which I think the department, when they answer, they can be able to help us. You see, on program 3, Chairperson, it was said that the hectares acquired for farm dwellers and farm laborers, those some members have touched on it, but I've got a specific question on it. They were saying to us on quarter 4 that the total number of hectares of land that was acquired, it was 10,015.2 hectares was allocated to as opposed to the target of 600 hectares. Now, my main problem that I have, Chairperson, is that are they allocated part of the settlement of the labor tenants applications? If so, how many labor tenants application were settled? Submit a list. We are asking the department to submit a list of claims and total number of a household and a household and hectares allocated. The other issue, Chairperson, which was also left out, is that allocation of land in program 3 to women and youth, though they have touched on it, but I've got a specific question on it. My other members have touched on it. But my main problem here is the total number of 3,429.8178 hectares were allocated to a lot more than the 253 hectares originally targeted. Now, in quarter 1, Chairperson, there is no target. There is no target allocated of land to youth, women, and people with disabilities. Why did the department drop such of the beneficiaries targeting? Who are the beneficiaries now if those people are not the beneficiaries? Can the department submit a detailed list or a detailed, can the department tell us in details about the beneficiaries in terms of the province, district, gender, age, and number of allocated. The other one is the issue of transfer, Chairperson, of I don't know how to pronounce it, but let me try Transkra area. It was said that not achieved because it is difficult to obtain municipal consent or SPLUMA approval for the transfer. Chairperson, there is no indicator for Transkra area. Why is it so difficult to obtain the municipal consent? Why has the Transkra been dropped in quarter 1 of 2022? Why is the department doing that? The labor tenants application, Chairperson, only 30 of the targeted of 550 were settled, according to the department in KZN. And then it is reported that the landowners have rejected offer of the OVG. Now, my question on that, Chairperson, which is also they said is delayed, it has delayed the approval for the advisors and the protected negotiations and the court processes targeted not achieved. Now, my problem is that the special master for labor tenant is not new in the process. To suggest that they will be deploying a strategy to address the challenges
while there is a full plan developed by the master, leaves much, much more to be desired. It is the appointment of the special master not assisting to frustrate the settlement of the labor tenants. If not, why it is so? The department must tell us that. This committee must consider inviting the special master, as my honorable has already mentioned. Really, indeed, I support that. He must also come and answer. Give the following platform to him so that he can be able to tell us what is happening. Can the department show the budget for the settlement of the labor tenants application expenditure and the unspent funds of that area? Chairperson, the last thing that I wanted also to touch on, which I think it was also left when I was asking questions, land development support, LDS, supporting farmers. It has been touched partly. Only 6 of the targeted 17 farms were supported through LDS. In our recent oversight visit to Northwest, the committee visited some of the farms, Britix Farm, community of the farmer, farm worker. The farm is not being used. They wait for the business plan. Officials are waiting for Pretoria head office to approve. Why is that taking so long? I normally used to say to the department, can you use ISO 13? Just an example, which gives you who must receive the letter when the letter must leave from this one to this one. And this thing, it is not being taken into consideration. And now you are failing. And that is some of the strategies that you can use to make a follow-up. I mean, you can't send a letter to Pretoria and sit in the office and drag us to local office and think that the letter will come back. You must make a follow-up. Now, the department must give us how many letters did they write to Pretoria. They must come in account on that. They must show us how did they make follow-up, so that you can see who is sitting on these things for them not to happen. Why does it take so long?
As you wrap up, Honorable Marshall.
Yes, yes, I wrap up, Chairperson. The provision of settlement support conditions of business plans, it must be taken into consideration. Some farmers just need to be, they need to be assisted on land, and business plans can be followed up so that they can be able to be assisted in time. Some communities they're in a situation of poverty and unemployment, where land is laying flow without being used because they are there, the land cannot be used. The officials step aside and report on this committee about the issue of land of the farm dwellers. Chairperson, lastly, I would say lastly, in quarter two, only EC was able to meet the targets. All other provinces had challenges. Why is that? The department must tell us why that happened. The department must mention the community organization that it is working with, that they are working with. They need to tell us what is the means of long CETA process. The CETAs cannot take long to answer to the department if the department is using the ISO template to make a follow-up, because they also have to make sure that they use the allocated funds to their offices.
Thank you, Honorable Marshall.
I thank you very much.
Honorable Kruger, you will be the last. I see your hand is on.
Yes, thank you, Chair, and I promise you I won't be that long. I just want to give an example of the department's incompetence to help the people on the ground. In the fifth parliament, the department already report about a fresh produce market in Dr. J.S. Moroka municipality in very rural Mpumalanga. And I did some oversight last week to see how it's operational. And I can promise you there's just a few walls. There's nothing happening. So I just want to give this as an example, and I would like to find out from the department, when will this fresh produce market be operational? Because the small scale farmers, you know, don't have any place to take their products to a market. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Kruger. It's back to you and Dr. Ramasodi and Uti.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and to the members of the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. And let me just be the first one to indicate that the areas that the members have touched on are areas that we will respond to. But it's very important to, before giving over to my colleagues, to also note the things that Honorable Maso, Honorable Thapelo, the Chair, has indicated, the issue around leadership. I think it has been very open in terms of the gaps that we have had in leadership in this department, and we have been very transparent as the department in terms of what are we doing to fill those gaps. At this moment, we only have got one area that is not yet interviewed for, and it's an area that we have got to finalize. But the other areas now, we are getting stability at the highest level, because that is where we need to be driving this issue around performance. The second issue that I thought was very important was the nomenclature, or the way that this department is structured in its new format, where you basically have got other areas where you have got provincial departments in the PSSC, and how they duplicate the work that we are doing and the work that we are doing. So I will, as the colleagues conclude, go on the critical strategic areas that were asked by the honorable members, and touch base on leadership and structuring and the impact that this has had in terms of the performance of the department. And I have got to say this, taking full responsibility as the accounting officer, that these are the issues that I'm currently working on to ensure that the department performs. But without removing these issues that are currently problematic or even addressing them, it becomes a real issue in terms of consequence management, because most of the areas that we are currently having challenges on would need firm executive oversight from the department, not in terms of executive in the minister or administrative oversight to look at. There were issues that were raised around animal production or biosecurity, that the SRASA will respond to those issues in totality. There were issues raised in food security in two dimensions, one relating to the food security and agrarian reform, the other ones reflecting on land reform and tenure reform. I would like that the MSO Makulu to respond to the issues of food security and agrarian reform, and that the Terindo to fully respond to the issues that honorable members have asked on land reform and tenure reform. We also have, knowing that we will take a presentation from the commission, maybe I will leave the commission out because there's an issue that honorable members had asked from the commission. We'll leave that one for the commission to come in. And I'll go to Economic Development, Trade and Marketing, and allow DDG Gwena Komape to respond to the issues as asked. And quickly, we will have the CFO responding to some of the financial issues, and that Dr. Kobogo will come with the performance issues, and I'll wrap up the responses from the department. Colleagues, in terms of your noting, I don't want to repeat what the honorable members have indicated. You have taken notes. Please go into the issues. If there are issues that you have skipped, I'll make sure that I cover them in my final response. In order, and that Tesarage, that Emeso Makhulu, Mr. Ndove, Mekwena Komape, CFO, and then Dr. Kobogo. Thank you very much, honorable chair.
You have the platform as indicated by the DG, won't touch.
Let's start. Dr. Mashmakulu, let me just check with Dr. Sarake, otherwise I'll take those.
Thank you very much, DG, for affording me a chance to respond to some of the specific questions that were posed. Good morning to all the members of the portfolio committee. And we are, as DG is saying, equally concerned and working as hard as we can to really reverse the current position that the department is finding itself at, and we can give that assurance that members are raising areas of concern. We're raising as the leadership of the department, and we're working towards rectifying those. Members had a weak connection. If you will allow me, I can address outside the camera just to ensure that my line keeps. It's been dropping today. I'm not sure what's happening in the office. The first question I want to, I've categorized them. They were PESI specific questions, DG. Then there was the issues of LTS, and then there was the issue around the infrastructure in colleges, our actual colleges, and lastly there were remarks and comments on the blended funding scheme, DG and members. If I can start on the blended funding scheme, just to indicate that the program is still being implemented, perhaps DG agree we can either submit a report on the blended finance scheme or present it to the portfolio committee as when time is afforded to us to do so. But the program is implementing, there's work happening, and it's beginning to really show positive impact on the ground. We can make that report. We agree with the members on the condition of our agricultural colleges. In particular, the state of infrastructure that is there. We have been over the years through our conditional grants, because part of that goes to the revitalization of those colleges. We have been putting in some resources to try and really maintain what is there. But we just came out of developing a colleges infrastructure master plan. That we are now putting into final tuning for us to really have a 2023-2028 implementation plan to really bring those agricultural colleges into the state we can all be proud of. And that plan has now been finalized. We're just fine-tuning it, and then we're going to be using it because it's already the first or the estimate, and it is in multiple billions, 2.2 billion rand, as the first estimate that is required to bring those colleges back to the state of the art that we really want them to be at. So that point, honourable members, is acknowledged and is receiving attention. As soon as we finalise it, then we'll then approach the National Treasury to see how we can source funds to get that done, or do a reprioritization within what we already have in the department to get that work moving. And this work is being done jointly with the, as members are aware, with the move of these colleges to national competency. You recall there is that project to transfer them to the Department of Higher Education. Then as the department, then we will then through the SLA take ownership to then operationalize and run them on behalf of the Department of Higher Education. So that aspect is getting the attention that it deserves. The PESI, excuse me, there were quite a few comments and questions there. First was whether don't we have the supplier database? Members will recall, and I think even today it's again mentioned, that the intermediaries were giving problems, and this issue was brought to our attention. The middlemen, suppliers who didn't have the stores. The department really responded positively to that. Members, as you recall, there was the suspension of the program to revisit that aspect, and ultimately the department then terminated the services of all those intermediaries and middlemen, and we appointed the bona fide agro dealers that can then begin to supply farmers with the required production inputs, dealing with the issues we're experiencing through those intermediaries. To date, we have over 445 service points across the country through these agro dealers providing the production inputs to farmers. Yes, the issue of verification was also raised, and that we came here, we said we've got a system that will really expedite the process. However, among other reasons why we could not conclude in the last year's allocation and PESI, we mentioned the issue of supply shortages and that verification. We're doing verification because we, through this program, we allow farmers to apply using their cell phone, as members are aware, using the USSD code through Vodacom. So anybody, anyway, can really just type star hash this number and then apply and say I'm a farmer. But in reality, that person is not farming, never farmed before. So to really clean that up, we have to do a verification process. Remember, members, we receive in excess of 50,000 application in the last call, as an example. So it therefore we use the survey 123 for, we have a hybrid approach with using a self-verification. It has its own disadvantages, especially if you are to deal with the deep rural areas where the issues of connectivity is a problem. So that approach will have its shortcomings. So we have to then also have a physical visit to the farmers to really check, are you farming? And are you meeting the requirements before we can issue the vouchers for farmers to then go and redeem from the agro dealers. So that process is very time consuming, and because I'm going to come to the question of extension officers that also came up, because it requires a physical site to farms across the length and breadth of our country, and it does consume time. Therefore, it really was among the reasons why the verification, we're mentioning it as a among other reasons why we could not implement as requested. But the take home point here is that we have cleaned up those intermediaries, and we now have the real agro dealers that are supplying farmers with production inputs through the system. Where are we with the appointment of the extension officers, as I pronounced, of 10,000? Members, just to mention that this pronouncement was never followed with the actual budget allocation. The department therefore had to try and look for additional resources to cater for this. 10,000 is a substantial number. The government, as members are aware, is trying to keep the COE, the compensation of employees, under strict control, and therefore increasing that really doesn't seem to draw much appetite from those allocating resources. And we've been battling, therefore, to really find this money in terms of recruiting these extension officers. We've looked internally from the department where we can repatriate, and we, given that we wanted to apply, this is not a project, it's a permanent appointment that you want. Perhaps we're looking at 3 years to start with. So we really could not find money from the department, and therefore we had to approach Treasury through combat process, which is ongoing, for us to get the 2.1 billion that we've asked for the allocation for us to be able to do this. But in the interim, we were able to do some environment internally from programs that, as the CFO was presenting, are understanding, including the savings that we begin to see in our own COE that is currently available. And we were able to get just over 229 million rand. That will now start the process to recruit 4,400 that we will then bring into the system for this current financial year. Our APP target as tabled is 5,000 for the year and 5,000 for the next year. But the funds we have thus far is indicating that we could have a shortfall of about 600, but this is the issue we'll still look internally and see. Perhaps we can still find that and be able to meet that. So that's where we are with the recruitment of the extension officers. We finally found 229 million to start the process, but there is this request to Treasury through that's going to go all the way to Cabinet to allocate 2.1 billion for us to really bring this in, so that the extension officer ratio to farmers is really reduced from its current over 1,500 farmers per one extension officer to the ideal ratios of just about 250 farmers. The other point that was asked DG was on the LDS and the land development support and who are these community organizations that we're working with here. We department came here and said we have appointed the organizations, all system go. We have, if I can just mention for the benefit of members, we have the Potato SA among others in the system to work with us. We have SACRA, we have the NERPO, we have Grain SA, we have CGA, Citrus Growers Association, there is SAFTA, and also the SAPA, the one for poultry association, but we have not yet given any projects to SAPRA at this stage. So these are the organizations we have that are assisting the department to implement the program. We are reporting that there are challenges, not in all of them, but there are that are giving us trouble in terms of their effectiveness to implement the program, and we have taken action through legal services to really we brought them to terms, and now we are moving towards the termination of one of the service providers. It happens to be one with a larger portfolio of the farms. And we are saying they did not put capacity in place to really do what they need to do. And in some instances where even work done is not to the level when we go into our own M&E, we're finding issues that are really non-compliant, and therefore we're doing away with them, and so that we can then change the system and bring people on board that will be able to do all the work that needs to be done. DG, I'm not sure if I have left out any question, and if I did, I'm happy to come back and bring responses to those. I think there was also from the chair the question around the funds that are transferred to Land Bank. I think that also talks to what I was proposing, Chair, that perhaps the AgriFund, ITC and Land Bank transfers for planned funding scheme. We're happy to bring that report to the portfolio committee. Thank you very much, DG and members.
Mr. Sarafe, with the permission of the chair.
Thank you very much, DG, and good morning to the members of this August portfolio committee. And thank you very much for the oversight that you are presiding over us, and in the main, for I'm responsible for program two, and program two had in the last financial year until quarter four 12 indicators. We've been able to perform 11 out of the 12, and one indicator which really is not because of poor performance, and I understand the concern of the honorable members. Maybe I need to make this clarification that this is the indicator about Ghana Fazer Home, KYD. We have transferred this indicator, transfer being the carefully used. We realized at the time of implementation that we are reporting the same thing with our FINE, the parastatal, the ARC. So us having it removed from the APP does not mean that we're not performing on it. We are indeed performing oversight, and it's reflected under our annual operational plan, so you may not see it on the APP. So there is progress, there is performance on the very matter by the Agricultural Research Council that we are providing oversight, not necessarily oversight, but supervision rather. And they are performing it on behalf of this department. And as members know, KYD is a gazetted scheme. So as the department, we cannot afford not to perform it on it, satisfactory on it. And it is currently running. And if it is pleases the August committee, we could provide a report on how far we are implementing the scheme, the KYD scheme. So I thought I should start with that, Honorable Chairperson, so that otherwise we would have performed 12 out of 12 for quarter four. That is as far as program two that I'm responsible for is concerned. Coming to the questions of the honorable members, we've got, I've taken them, I've written them in no order. Apologies, Honorable Chairperson, but I grouped them in terms of what the honorable members were seeking clarity on. Honorable Qebikulu, Nkosi Qebikulu, about the foot and mouth disease that is raging the country. The concern of the honorable member is the concern of the department. We are worried. We are trying everything possible to contain and thereafter control the disease. We just coming to this meeting, I was moving out of a meeting with Free State, wherein we are deploying resources in terms of capital and human resources to assist the Free State province and the province of KZN. We're trying by all means to ensure that we do not have a end into a situation where those provinces become ungovernable. At the moment, we are hopeful that with the arsenal that we've launched onto the Free State, we may be able to contain it and ensure it does not spread further. As at yesterday, we've had a head of 200 animals from the communal area around the Harrismith that are now have been quarantined into a camp and have been vaccinated. As members know, it's one of the measures of trying to contain and thereafter control the disease. So we have got the question about us unbanning or lifting the ban, the movement ban. We are looking at that, and the scientific data that we have been able to gather and analyze at this stage indicate the possibility that the minister may this week open movement in some provinces, but would not pose risk to the all our efforts of containing and then later on controlling the disease. So we are on it, and the Limpopo we may reduce. So we've registered a considerable progress as far as the outbreak in Limpopo, which members, as they know, is the outbreak that went to Northwest. And we so far can register the progress that we have registered in Limpopo. And we are aware that just vaccinating animals is not the magic pill that gets everything go away. So as I'm talking to addressing this August committee, this coming Friday, there will be a farmers information day presided over by our minister and MEC and the traditional leaders in Limpopo in areas that would have been affected by the outbreak. So we will be going around with this comprehensive approach wherein because we realize that the spread is in the main as a result of insufficient information that our farmers happened to not have. And as a result of that, they move animals when they're not supposed to be moving them and related lack of information. And so we'll be approaching it. Our DG has tasked us to come up with a comprehensive control rather than just vaccinate and isolate and quarantine farms. We should come back to the farmers and educate them and assist them. As members know, that once an area has been declared a DMA, disease management area, in terms of the Animal Disease Act, it means animals may not move into or out of that area. It means the department must come in and ensure that farmers affected are assisted in terms of market access. They're still allowed to trade FMD vaccinated FMD positive animals. So we are mindful of that, and we are embarking on different processes
of what DG tasked us to make sure that we implement as a comprehensive control of the disease. The matter raised by, as I move to the matter raised by Honorable Mundwedi. Honorable Mundwedi, you're right, your concerns are very right and are well received. And of course, I wouldn't, I don't have a problem with the reservation that the committee takes is because of our reporting. We should have actually reported that the KYD, it's not that it's not being performed, it's just that we didn't want to duplicate reporting, because it would, had we not done what we've done, we would end up with a situation where we come here and report about the number of KYD schemes implemented, and then ARC comes and does the same. So we, I think we might just apologize for how we reported about the matter, and we'll ensure that come in the next you members, as members will see the indicators of the APP of 22-23, that has been sorted out. So the roles of ARC and the role of the department are clearly differentiated. So we didn't have the situation. And otherwise, had it not been that program two for the year under review 21-22, would be reporting 100% performance. Might I add also, Chairperson, that program two is about the industry term, the lifeblood of the industry. So we are making sure that we do not drop the ball there. If I move over to the questions by Honorable Masipa, it was also the concern about the matter about KYD. And I can report, Honorable Masipa, that indeed there is a progress. We've got report ready and information, verifiable information on the ground to show what is it that ARC is doing as an implementing agent of this department as far as matters KYD are concerned. Moving over to the questions and comment by Honorable Nkosi Mandela about the cannabis master plan. This is a bit of a challenge. Your first question was who is in charge, who leads, which department leads. The master plan is led by this department that you are performing oversight over. But as members would know, matters cannabis need to be managed jointly with other departments, Justice and Consumer Development and South African Police Service in the main, SAPRA and of that Department of Health. So part of the work that we need to do is dependent upon a movement or action of the other departments. But what have we done to date? We have to date been able to register or grant permits to over 40, I think I'll just check the figure, more than 40, I'm sure it's more than 40 applicants who applied for hemp permits. And those are supposed to be assisted by the development part or development wing of this department or the provincial department. But our job in this specific case is to assess application and upon satisfaction award or issue the permits we've issued. And applications come as and when they come in, trickle in, and we process them sufficiently and are able to issue them. That is as far as hemp is concerned. As members know, that cannabis, you've got hemp and you've got the marijuana. As far as marijuana is concerned, we are not, it does not become our responsibility to issue permits or license or whatever related authorizations. But what we're doing is we're collaborating with all these departments. As a matter of fact, the presidency has also stepped in to assist in ensuring that all these departments that I've mentioned, all these departments do collaborate and work together. With the first one of the meetings that we'll be having is tomorrow, and we've had quite meetings with different provinces. Gauteng is also coming on board, and I know Northwest is also coming on board. So we are going to assist those provincial departments as far as licensing for hemp production is concerned, and the development of funding wing of this department will take care of the development and the grants and financial assistance, which is not the responsibility of the branch that I lead. This is how far I could I've been able to summarize the questions and the directives of the honorable members, DGW. Thank you.
Mr. Andover, can you try to be succinct? Thank you.
Thank you so much. I also would like to apologize for the connection that I have here, so I'll not be able to use the video going forward. The network is very poor. Thank you, DG, and greetings to the Honorable Chair, Honorable Members, my colleagues. There have been many areas that have been touched on, the areas where I have got responsibility under land redistribution and tenure reform. The first one came from Honorable Marshall, more specifically on issues of CPA. Let me indicate before I get into this matter that indeed CPA are a challenge. I know that all of us in this platform are aware because of our own personal experience with how CPA can pose challenges that are posed within the operations of CPAs. As a department, the Act allows us to play a particular role through the DG, and that is the oversight role, or the role that we play in line with the Act to ensure that the CPA comply with the Act to an extent that there are actions that are prescribed by the Act that the department can take in time to ensure that the compliance is achieved. But I'll indicate that the process is not as easy as that. Act alone will not solve all the problems. Even taking legal steps are not always bringing all the desired solution if people are not working together. Indeed, I need to confirm also that we do have just over 1,700 CPAs. These CPAs are not registered annually. They are registered once as and when they get established. So this is the accumulative figure of the CPAs that we have registered in the country. With respect to the functionality of the CPA, other honorable members have already touched on that, but I'll just make emphasis that we are compelled to provide the Parliament through the Portfolio Committee annually the status of CPA in the country, in what we call annual reports on the CPA. The report has got all the information, some of the information that we ask regarding the functionality of the CPA. So that information is available. And indeed, there are more CPAs that are not complying with the Act compared to those that are complying with the Act. I'm not going to get into the details of the report as I've indicated that this is the information that's available also to the members of this committee. With respect to training, part of our intervention includes training. Much focused on issues of governance, because that is the most difficult part within the CPAs. Governance that actually leads to non-compliance with the Act. Talking about the annual financial statements that are audited, accountability on them, accounting on the membership, verification of those members on a constant basis, including having annual general meetings and also elections in line with the constitution. Those are some of the challenges that we are facing, and the training revolves around those areas. Change of indicator. Honorable Master has indicated that we have changed the indicator, which is true, but it's not a change. It's the, I will call it, improvement of the same indicator. If we look at the first indicator as indicated on quarter four, it reads, thus, number of CPA supported to be compliant with legislation. I have already indicated that the training that I'm talking about are the training that I lead that actually assists the CPA to be able to comply with the legislation. The only thing that we have emphasized the word training, and we have also emphasized the word members. That means these are members of the CPA that needs to be trained. That is the only difference, but the essence is still the same. So we are reporting, going forward, we're reporting more on the training, but on these specific areas that will lead to compliance, or things that we have already identified as key areas that are actually failing the CPA to comply with the Act. With regard to the acquisition of the land, which that is in the quarter four, which talks to the land acquired in the Northwest, where the issue of restitution was also mentioned. I think this was mentioned in the, for sake of transparency as to what happened. And the following has happened. There's a community in the Northwest. I will not be able to mention the name of that community, where they've lodged a claim like in other communities. When everything has been done, assessment has been done, evaluation has been done, all other things have been done for land restitution through the commission to acquire that land, dispute started amongst the members. The land referred to was a land that is not the original land where they were dispossessed. It was an alternative land. And amongst the beneficiaries, others were in favor of that land, and others were not accepting to take that land. While many other things have been done, and the farmer, the owner, was also prepared to actually let go the land in through restitution. So what is indicated there that we acquired that land is because the land was already ready for acquisition. But because of the dispute amongst communities, then the land was now acquired through another program, not for restitution, but for redistribution. The explanation on the reasons indicated on the report maybe may not be sufficient, but this is what actually happened. So it is not any changing of programs from restitution to land redistribution. The land, let me in a summary, is to indicate that the restitution approach to acquire that land failed, and then the land redistribution program assessed the farm and saw the farm to be a good farm that can be acquired under land redistribution, and that's what happened in the last quarter. Again, this also with regard to indicator, and I'm happy because Honorable Masati has indicated that we need to continually make sure that our indicators talk to what we want to achieve, and obviously we need to improve them from time to time. So in terms of the acquisition of land, if we look at what is indicated on second quarter, which is the last quarter, which represents what was actually said to be number of hectares of strategically located land acquired. The land that we acquire it through what we call proactive acquisition strategy. And this land is acquiring strategically allocated land. So it's a question of wording, but meaning the same thing. So it's not a change of name. If you look at the technical indicators and whatever, it still talk to the same thing. It's just what I can regard as continuous improvement of our indicators so that it becomes clear as to what we are talking about. So there's no change in that. I think that concludes Honorable Marshall's inputs, but I know that she had a second bite. I'll come to it later. From Honorable Masipa, he further also made emphasis on issues related to CPA, which I'm admitting without any reservation, that there are challenges, particularly what he mentioned, issues of governance and compliance. And these challenges are the ones that we are battling with and the ones that we are trying to find a way to resolve them in various ways in the department. And that has also even triggered the involvement of the minister to go around the country to meet with the CPAs with the intention to find actually what is the root cause of these challenges we are having and what can be the response from government or the department in trying to resolve these matters. This process is ongoing and it is coupled by the audit that is already is all also ongoing of all the CPA. The intention is to have an empirical evidence that will assist us to advise and propose changes regarding what needs to be done. Whether the question that was asked, whether are CPA the right vehicle to hold land for land reform or not? But this is a question that we can be able to answer without, you know, information, and that is what we are trying to do. The issue of allocation to women, youth, and people with disabilities, which has been a problem. This is as what comes from Honorable Kappa. Indeed, we did not achieve in quarter four where we're supposed to get 50%, we only got 38% for women, 9% for youth. The performance is very dismal because it also contradicts our own policy in terms of targets that we have set ourselves for. Without making any excuse, I need to say the following, that when it comes to women, even including youth and people with disabilities, these targeted groups, as we target them, we also want to ensure that we don't expose them to a very harsh environment where chances of success will not be realized. So we take care of the nature of the farms that we are acquiring and target certain farms that we think these ones are in a better location. They have got better infrastructure, facilities. They are accessible. There is some level of safety that will ensure that these targeted groups, when allocated this land, the focus will be on farming rather than many other things that can actually hamper them from achieving. So as we acquire land, those factors are also factored, as much as we also look at the issue that is the achievement of the targets in terms of our percentages. So what has happened in the last quarter is that we did not achieve that at the time of reporting on this matter, based on the factors that I've indicated. As much as we've achieved in terms of acquiring land, which is clearly indicated in the report, but in terms of the allocation, and I will need to indicate that allocation also is a process that is a bit slower compared to acquisition once after acquisition. So some of this acquisition, allocation will actually spill over to the following financial year on quarter one. The next one regarding the restitution my apology, what I was responding to was from Honorable Chet, not Honorable Papa. She also made mention of issues of CPA and what needs to be submitted as indicated by Honorable Marshall, that we need to submit the list of the people that have been trained, area of training, and the cost, and the issue of functionality. I think the issue of functionality, I've already addressed it in terms of the annual report. So those are the things that we are taking care of as requested, so that we can be able to supply that information. I think I've already responded on the issues of restitution and which was raised by Honorable Marshall of the land that was acquired in the fourth quarter. Honorable Tebekul made mention of issues that needs to be done. This may not necessarily be falling under my responsibility, but realizing that I'm the last person to talk to issues of land reform, where communities are neighboring land reform project, could it be coming from land claims or any other land reform, that sometimes the neighboring communities move over and get into the land and into the land reform land that has been acquired by a particular community or individuals, and that there is a need to try to possibly have a strong fence in between. And I think that we take note of that, and it's obviously going to be addressed in terms of the need where these factors are actually, where these matters are actually happening. And from the Honorable Matthias, again on the CPA, he made mention of their report and also issues like dispute, feuds, deregistration of some CPAs because of those challenges, and all factors that talks to non-compliance with the Act. And the question that he raises, is the CPA model working? Is it doing what it's supposed to do in terms of holding land that comes through land reform? I think I've already responded to that, that the process that is going on currently, including the audit that is happening, will lead to that question being answered as to what needs to happen going forward. The issues around the farm dwellers have also been ventilated. Indeed, the farm dwellers are and labor tenants, I'll combine them. To an extent that there is a need to call the special master to come and explain the work they are doing in trying to assist the department to achieve its objective regarding the resolution of the labor tenants. I don't think that I can comment on that. It's obviously the responsibility. The DG will talk to that, but I've just said, indeed, there are challenges in the resolution of the labor tenants. Some of the issues have been highlighted, but let me just mention a few of them that actually are a problem. The land that we're supposed to settle labor tenants is the land that belongs to a farmer. Obviously, there has to be some kind of, once a labor tenant claim has been made, there has to be an engagement with that farmer to accept that indeed there is a legitimate labor tenant claim. In some cases, or in most cases, the farmers reject. And that kickstarts the other processes, legal processes, in line with the Act. Where the farm owner accepts, then there is valuation of the land. My apology. There is valuation of the land to agree on the value that will lead to a price that goes to the landowner. The farmer rejects the value. That again led to dispute in terms of the value, and that affect the process of settling that particular claim. Apart from that, there are issues that talk to the subdivision of land. Some of these issues need also to be, in terms of the SPLUMA and available legislation, need to pass through that, and that's why the municipality get involved. So that is also another process that sometimes it can delay the thing. So I'm just indicating this, that indeed, as much as all efforts to try to speedily resolve the settlement of this labor tenants claim, there are also other factors that are actually affecting it. There are efforts from the department, as indicated, in trying to resolve these matters, working together with the special master. But there are also extra efforts that they are still being discussed in terms of what we should do, especially regarding the issues related to rejection of the value that is given to the farmers, as to what else can be done. There are engagement also with the respective municipalities in trying to expedite the process of approving this SPLUMA plans of subdivision to ensure that the process of settling those claims are moving a bit quicker than it is. The issue raised by Honorable Masati regarding the allocation of land specifically to women, I think I've already touched on that. And also the issues related to labor tenants, that the speed in which they get finalized, what are the reasons, I have already also addressed it. Honorable Klape also spoke on issues of labor tenants. I think that has already been taken care of. But Honorable Klape went further to talk about the current legislation and the bill that has not yet been finalized. This is a matter that is getting attention, honorable members. It has been discussed, and the chances is that this will be reviewed in terms of trying to ensure that the proper legislation is in place within a reasonable time, that will address challenges that are there in the current challenges that are there that are related to legislation. Honorable Marshall, a second bite. In terms of the list of labor tenants, we will be able to provide that applications and those that have been settled, and also the land, those have land that have been allocated. Issues of land allocated to women, youth and people with disabilities, we can be able to provide that information is available. As requested, we will be able to provide that. Tranca, I need to indicate that Tranca has not been dropped. It is appearing on our annual operation plan, and I will indicate why. The challenges that I have indicated here that relates to labor tenants, in the main, they also affect Tranca processes, except the issue of the OVG, which does not affect Tranca, but issues of approval by municipalities and the SPLUMA issues also affect the Tranca. And what we have also looked at, as this matter has been dragging on for some time, was that we were talking about areas where the Tranca area is defined, but not taking into consideration activities that happen within that particular area. So we have refined it, we have not dropped it, it is there on our annual performance plan, and we are still pursuing the issue of Tranca, and we'll continue to do that. I think, DG, unless I have left something, I think that concludes my response. Thank you so much.
Mekomape, followed by CFO and Dr. Kgoboko, can we just hit the nails in terms of our responses, colleagues?
Thank you very much, DG, and good afternoon to the chairperson and the members of the honourable members of the committee. Chair, I mean DG, through you, I will take the questions that have been posed to Branch EDTM. Firstly, I would look into the Agri-B fund and indicate that the fund is among those that have been transferred to the land bank. And I would align myself with the proposal that we send a report to the committee on how the funds have been utilized. But just to indicate to the committee that the fund has just been reviewed and we are in the process of implementing, however, the full details of this will follow. With regards to Mafisa Dishi, it's important that we note that Mafisa is a loan fund. And being a loan fund, it's got tendencies of competing with the grants, especially in times that we have just gone past where the farmers' repayment ability was constrained by, for example, the effects of COVID-19, also at the moment what we are going through in terms of high prices of production inputs and the rest. So in those instances, whenever there are grant funding available, for example, we had the presidential stimulus packages, which farmers took advantage of. But I do take cognizance of the concerns raised by the committee members. And I'm also first to admit that the fund itself is not as we would want it to be. We have been through several engagements with the executive of the department with regards to looking into the fund and just see how do we want to make it work such that all the farmers are able to benefit. So in short, it indicates that indeed we are looking to ensure that it works. And when it comes to time for farmers, we are looking for loans, small loans that can be accessed through the fund. They are able to DG is with regards to the FPSUs. And the Honourable Members indicated that they are not working, throwing some, actually most of them, or some are not working, and we cannot keep throwing money at them. I would concede and indicate to the members through UDG that indeed we are looking at revamping the way in which we are supporting them or implementing them. We have started by looking at, requesting the business plan for a specific FPSU that we want to support, so that we are able to see as to whether is it going to, what are the requirements? When are those going to be needed? Who are we supporting, the FPSU, who is it supporting, and is there any chance of this particular FPSU that we are going to be supporting to break even and be on its own? So that is what we are, the process that we are going through, and it's, to be honest, to the members, it's very slow. The delivery at the same time will be somewhat impacted because each and every FPSU will require a specific business plan for it, without us as the department applying a generic funding on a generic business proposal. There was an issue of bilaterals, DG, which were raised, and the question was, are we leaving them out? I must indicate that what we have on the APP, it's a badly crafted way of a deliverable. Because with the bilaterals, we didn't even look at what is it that we are able to control and what is it that is not in control of the department. As you may know, that we are going to be depending on the other party, their availability. They will be impacted by different variables that may even prevent us from having those discussions. It's not that we are going to abandon them. It's a matter of crafting them in a different way that we are able to report to the members, to the honorable members, on those variables that we are able to control and we can be able to report on. I'm not sure, DG, if I'm leaving out anything. If I am, I will be reminded. Actually, there was an issue, I think, of the, I don't know if I had it well with regards to the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. There I should remind the members that we are engaged with the process, and as a country, actually the way in which the process unfolds is that we attack it, if I may use the word attack, as the regional groups, economic groups. With us as South Africa, we are part of SACCU, and we have just completed with our services offer. and which we are going to send to SACU, meaning that in that area we do not negotiate as ourselves only. We are part of that economic group grouping. That is my submission, Chair. Thank you very much. If I have left anything, I'll be reminded of it. Thank you very much.
CFO.
Thank you, DG. And I picked up only two questions. One was on the 30 days. Member Kruger wanted to know the values. As at end of the quarter, we had received invoices to the total of 430 million. 411 million was paid within 30 days. And that equates to 4,846 invoices. We had 138 invoices that were not paid, worth 9.7 million. Then the other question that I noted was the correlation between the non-financial expenditure, a financial report, and the expenditure report, 56% versus the 93% that we have reported on the financial side. And indeed, I think the member was spot on. There is just no correlation. But if we were to shift the overhead expenditure, we would not be too far, although most of the targets were not achieved. I think the issue that we've always indicated, that the fact that on the non-financial side, you only report 100%, and on the financial side, you report everything. So there is expenditure that would have been expended for targets that were not achieved, yet you can't report on those that are not at 100%, whether it's 95%, 96%, 99%, you don't report. It's not achieved, but there would have been some financial implications on those. So we agree, yes, there's no correlation, but there's other things that we are not taking account of, the overheads and those that we would have spent but not achieved on those, and we could not report on them. Thank you.
Mr. Kobokwe.
Thank you very much, DG. Thank you very much, honorable members. I have about five questions just to touch on quickly. The first one relates to slide 13 and 14. As requested by Honorable Masipa, slide 13 of quarter four, 2021-22. Just to say that that slide focuses, if you may project it in the Ralph, that slide focuses on year-on-year comparison performance of the department, year-on-year comparison. It is very important that when you deal with issues of performance, you compare. You compare the financial years, not just in terms of the final performance percentage, but in terms of quarters. And if you look, and Dr. Ralph, can you just project that slide 14? I mean, slide 13. Slide 13, just go up. Please. Yes. That is year-on-year quarterly performance. If you look at that slide, honorable members, you realize that the blue line represents 2020-21 financial year, and the red represents 2021-22 financial year. And if you look at the first quarter, 2020-21, the department achieved 39%. But in 2021-22, the department obtained 69%. This comparison is very important, honorable members, because then you ask yourself, what was happening during quarter one of 2020-2021? And we know very well that during that time, that's when we were confronted by two major things, the COVID, the outbreak of the COVID pandemic, but we were also a pretty new department. Now, when we went to 2021-22, you can see that we're beginning to stabilize as a new major, as a new department. So this comparison is important because the analysis will point at the environment which existed during that performance quarter. Can you go to the next slide, Ralph?
Point of order, Chair. Chair?
Yes.
Yes,
can you go back? Can you go back to the slide? What are the horizontal indicators? What are they measuring? What are the verticals? What are you measuring?
I think we must be guided, Chair, in response to that. We must be guided by where we indicate the percentages. Those percentages indicate quarters of the financial year. Where you see those percentages, 69 and 39, that represents quarter one. 53, 68 represents quarter two. 53, 32 represents quarter three. And there you can see our quarter four, which is 57%. But in 2020-2021, in quarter four, we were at 50%. That is what that graph is trying to depict. May I move, Honorable Chair? May we move to the next slide, please? The next slide focuses on 2021-22. And this time around, we are looking at the performance of the department per quarter, per branch. Now we are focusing on each branch. If you look at the first quarter, it's represented by the blue line there. And then if you follow that blue line, it will indicate how each branch performed for that quarter. Because you have to look at the percentage scale on the left to be able to see what the percentage performance of each branch is. It is also very important, Chair. If you look, for example, look at food security and agrarian reform, look at that second quarter. Look at the quarterly performance of the branch. Quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. So you have a particular trend there. And you've got to go into an analysis to find out why is the trend like that. If you go to rural development, which is the next one, you look at how they have performed, quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, there is again a trend there. So we use this to simply indicate the trend of performance per branch for the financial year. Thank you very much. Chair, there is another question which was asked by Honorable Papa. The first question was, do we have any consequence management for poor performance or any incentive for good performance? The answer is, we have a system, a performance system called Employee Management and Development System, which has been introduced by DPSA. It is applicable to all national departments. We use the system on a quarterly basis to assess the financial year we count for each employee. And the system makes provision for some incentives for those that have performed outstandingly, but it also comes with punitive measures for those that have not performed properly. It's below the accepted norm. There are certain measures which kick in. Either the employee must be put under a performance improvement plan or a disciplinary measure must be taken against that employee. So we do have this system and it is applied throughout the department at senior management level and at all employees below salary level trends. So we do have that. The other question by Honorable Kappa is, when will performance improve? Honorable Kappa, if you and members, if you look at a quarter one report, particularly slide 12, you will now begin to see that improvement is beginning to show in the performance of the department. As you can see, quarter one performance, generally speaking, is low for departments. You begin to see an upward movement from quarter two, but in this case, as you can see, the performance will remain as high or will even get better. But there is a sign that the department's performance is beginning to improve. The last question that I have to respond to, I think it was asked by Honorable Mashati. In fact, it was a conclusion, Chair, where she said that it is the department which sets its own targets and it is the department which has not achieved its targets. It is true. We have indicated that we have introduced, it is very true, Chair, that some of the difficulties in achieving targets are linked to bad planning. We miss out on a few things in terms of making sure that the targets are smart, the targets relate properly to technical indicator descriptions. But we have since come up with a planning tool which has been approved by EXCO, which we have shared with branches to use as and when they do their planning. And probably that is the reason why even for quarter one, the performance looks as it does. This planning tool is helping branches to ask themselves a few questions as and when they plan targets to make sure that the targets are achievable and the targets relate to the technical indicator descriptions. I will stop here, Chair and DG, in response to the question.
Honorable Chair, I think we have covered the issues that we had indicated we will cover from the colleagues. Let me, at a high level, just touch on the basis, taking into consideration the time that the colleagues have taken to respond to this, which I will also cover in terms of the commitments that we have made from the department. Let me just indicate on this presentation that Ntate Kgoboko has made, I know the importance of the X and Y coordinates and why that intersect is important for Honorable Masipa, and therefore make an admission that that did not have the right labeling and therefore it becomes very difficult for one to follow from an analysis point of view, and that's something that we will rectify. The second issue around the performance of the department that I need to indicate to the honorable members of this portfolio committee, that it's going to be very painful. It's going to be a work that we have got to consistently work on, but it's something that is doable, taking into consideration where we are and where we are going. I think very important is an issue that was raised by two honorable members, Honorable Masipa and Montwedi, who were reflecting on the economic value of land and how do we make the parcels of land to be productive in terms of the various engagements, blended finance, MAFISA, extension support, and all of those. And it's very important to reflect on this, that if we don't get this area around funding and non-financial support towards the farmers, it will be very difficult. Which makes me pause at an issue around MAFISA, which DDG Komape should have touched also on, was that MAFISA went out with seed funding, which is the capital part that we always have with those who are transferring this funding. And it's quite important to indicate that without that being returned, and with what Honorable Mutwedi was raising to say that they might be even charging exorbitant fees, it will be very difficult to move forward. And I had from my own office indicated that the report, if it does not have the issues of following the money and where this money is, it will be very difficult for me to continue with that discussion, knowing the need that we need on the ground. So that's one thing that we have got to make an admission on, and that report is still outstanding. And I will just indicate that once we have got the full report, we just have got to come and be very open with Parliament on what's transpiring in terms of the different funding instruments that we have as a department. Now on the FPSU, there was an element that Mekwena was touching on, but it's very important to also make an admission to say what is working and what is not working, because we need to make trade-offs in terms of the work that we are doing. And if FPSUs was not a very good model that we are going to follow, at some stage you need to look at it. But I need to indicate that we came to the portfolio committee and made an input to say that through the assistance coming from the African Development Bank, we are looking at an agri-park model where they are just looking at how can they assist us in terms of this area. of work, and AgriPark being the highest level that FPSUs build towards. So there's work that's happening in this area. There's an issue around the commodity groups and how we work with them. And I have got to indicate that, as you would know, these commitments around commodity groups were made in 2018, and we are busy looking at the system that was around that so that we can be accountable for each and every cent that is dropped on the soil or on the grass. We need to be able to respond to that. And that's the work that we are currently doing through all the mechanisms that we are having from the department, be it M&E or audit, so that we can be able to say that that money is lending correctly. Honorable Masipa, you have said we need to give an update in terms of the dispute resolution that we are having with the EU on the false Kotlin moth. Yes, we are at liberty to just highlight what the issues are. The issue that we are having is that the EU had come up with new measures, and these measures were suggesting that South Africa would not be able to export to the EU unless we comply with the cold treatment for our food. South Africa did not agree with that level of protection that EU was trying to do from a phytosanitary point of view. And there are currently discussions at a technical level where our engagements through DDG SRAGE are going through with the EU. And there are also discussions, as you had rightfully indicated, through a dispute resolution mechanisms of the, of mechanism of the WTO, where we are trying to say, how do we resolve on the issue. Now, there is a law firm that the country had already subscribed to assist us with the WTO processes. Led by the Department of Trade and Industry, we have engaged in terms of that process. We are still exchanging notes internally. But what is going to happen is that even before we go and sit, there would be consultation with both parties, the EU and South Africa, to see how we resolve this. And we hope that we'll be able to resolve the issues, because technically we think that we have got a strong case around the false Kotlin moth and the work that yes, especially in and around the integrated system. Are there pieces of legislation that we need to look at? I know that my colleagues have responded to it. But it's very important, the processes that we need to engage in to resolve the issues that the industry is facing. And those are contained within the agriculture and agro-processing master plan. And we would hope that the portfolio committee would be able to assist us as we go through them. We have identified them, and we will be coming through. One of those is the Marketing of Agricultural Products Act that we need to amend it so that we can start dealing with real issues around transformation in our country. There is a level of saying, how do we change this situation, Honorable Khan? And I'm not harboring any illusion that this is going to be an easy task. But what I would say is that it's a task that we as management and I as the accounting officer has accepted to look at how do we address this performance. If the portfolio committee looks at the issues that led to underperformance under the financial side, there was an issue around the filling of vacancies. That work is currently unfolding. As more than 50% of this came from the filling of vacancies and also from PACE. And there is a new planning and integration that we're having. And one honorable member today was asking, and it's Honorable Marshall, saying that there was a system that was presented here, and we soon realized that systems would not really solve issues that we have got to give attention to. And we need to really systematically look at how we deal with the budgeting, we deal with the expenditure out of the budgeting, and how do we report back into the department to deal with it. We have got another issue that was raised by Honorable Kwebekulu, and I'm just riding on the issues that were not responded to, or there was inadequate response that I thought I needed to clarify. The alien invasive species, we are dealing with that issue around the land care, and we are quite willing to engage on the issues. Honorable Kwebekulu is correct in terms of land care programs and how they can assist us on two issues. One, the issue around job creation, and secondly around ensuring that there is food security, because they take away valuable pieces of land, and reclamation of those pieces is very important. We have spoken about the special master. We will respond. I'll come up with our concluding remarks on that. Honorable Mandela had also asked about the land bank and what we are doing around those engagements. And lastly, there was that issue around the presidential advisory panel on sector engagements on labor tenants and farm dwellers. And that I would make this proposal, Honorable Chair, with your indulgence, that we make the following submissions to the Portfolio Committee on Agriculture, Land Reform and Rural Development. One, we give a full report in terms of or the annual improvement scheme. Secondly, we give a report on the financial instruments that we have in the department and the performance of these financial instruments in the sector over the past few years, so that we can be able to gauge how these are doing. My colleague said the third one would be on the CPA annual report, but that report should be backed by issues that the Portfolio Committee had requested us to reflect on. So that becomes part of the CPA annual report with additional issues outside of the framework that the Portfolio Committee had requested us to report on. We also commit in terms of the engagements that I will engage with the special master so that we can have a presentation to the Portfolio Committee. The special master has introduced a few changes, and any change would need that we deal with the issue around efficiencies and to a greater extent the effectiveness of the system, which reflects in our annual performance report, but it's actually inefficiencies that the special master had also picked up in our system and maybe also impacted on the effectiveness that we already had mastered as the department. There is an issue that we will provide a list of the labor tenants and the work that we are doing in that area, and we'll also be providing a list for location specific emphasis for women, youth and people with disabilities. And lastly, honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, we will also submit our audit action plan, and as the CFO has already apologized, what we are doing is that on a quarterly basis we discuss this with our audit committee and go through those to see whether we are moving. We are also doing the very same with our forensic investigations reports that we are sharing. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and my apologies for taking longer, but I thought that it was important that we responded intensely to the issues that the honorable members have raised.
Thank you. Thank you so much, DJ. Even though you said it will be a high level answering, but we are pressed for time. But thank you so much for highlighting the reports and the list that we will, as the department, will submit in writing. Can you also, DJ, add two more of those? The report on the issue of Mafisa loan fund, since it has been raised by many committee members, and the answering of it, the response is not really adequate. Instead, even on my side, I do have follow-up questions on it. Can you also submit that report on that one? And also, DJ, the second thing that I want to add on your list of the report and list that needs to be submitted is the issue of CPAs that was raised by Mama Masho. Can you also submit that? You've answered the issue of allocation of funds on women. You already highlighted that one. I'm not really covered on the issue of the cannabis master plan that was raised by U chairperson of the committee, Honorable Mandel. We will also appreciate if we can get a proper clarity on it. Moving very quickly, because we are pressed for time, can we move to the next presenter, which is the Commission of Land Restitution? All right, and can we do that, Chair, and the presentation, since it's 1 o'clock, can we give the commission about 15 to 20 minutes of the presentation, Commission?
Yes, Chair. Thank you very much. We'll try to move as speed as possible. I'm a caretaker here, Chair. My name is Dele Maphoto. I'm acting Chief Land Claims Commissioner. And the COCC is on a leave. I'll request Ralph to project. We'll try to move as quickly as possible within your direction. I want to thank all the honorable members, Director Ramasodi and the colleagues in the department.